Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
I poured it in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops on cocaine.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
Make some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's fine.
God damn it, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, uh-oh.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Well, all right. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us here on The Session, brought to you by our good friends over at More Beer, the sponsor of this session, every session we do, and they've been doing it since the beginning of time. I was just out at their newish warehouse in Pittsburgh, California this week.
How was it?
It's like walking into an Amazon warehouse.
Really? Like a lot of jungles and panthers and shit? Or what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's jungles and panthers everywhere.
Nice.
It's just an enormous, it's like 30-something thousand square feet of fulfillment center for your homebrew needs. I mean, it really...
It's like bigger than Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it was cool. Just I always just get all mushy seeing how far they've come and grown up. So it's really cool. So, yeah, thanks to More Beer for bringing us this program. You can go shop over at morebeer.com or moreflavor.com, morewine.com. It's all there. And you can get all the things that you need to do all the things that you want to do in the home brewing and home winemaking and home coffee making world. And we thank them. Skeleton crew tonight.
Yeah.
Half the staff is gone prepping for Burning Man.
Okay.
Is what's happening right
Great.
Now. Well, so...
We shut down for Burning Man now.
Basically. I mean, we sort of always have.
Yeah.
But I stopped going for several years
right.
And then went back last year.
Yeah.
And then this year, we're bringing out... Beardy and his wife for their virgin Burning
Whoa.
Man experience.
Cool.
So Doc's at home doing what one does to get ready for Burning Man. And
yeah.
Beardy's been really working hard lately. You know, his brewery is just about to open.
Opened a brewery, yeah.
So he's missed a couple shows just because he's been there late working and brewing.
Yep.
And he's feeling terrible about it. He's always so sorry when he has to text me. And today he texts me and he's like, So I was planning on being at the show tonight, but this is what his text sounds like in my head.
Yeah.
This is his text voice. But Candy said it's okay if I go to the show, but she'd rather I didn't. Rather I come home and help with things. So he's like, in short, it's okay, but not really okay
right.
if I come do the show tonight. So I was like, all right, man, you can skip it. So Beardy's home making his wife happy, whatever, you know.
Whatever that entails.
They don't even know what they're doing to prep for Burning Man.
Right. The first thing they got to do is figure out how to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote them like a map, but.
Okay, good. Yeah. You got to plan. You got to help them plan.
I got to help them plan because they're in my RV and I don't want to have to, like, resuscitate them every 12 hours. So I give them some things that they need. It's harsh out there. So they need dust masks and goggles and water and, like, lots of stuff to not shrivel up and die, basically. But I'm pretty excited to see what...
super fun.
Doesn't it?
Well, and apparently right at this moment, it's pouring with rain. So it's this dust bowl. It's a really flat... It's on a flat, dry lake bed that has that, like, really fine dust everywhere. So anything... So there's constantly dust in the air, and sometimes you don't see it, but it's always there. Mm-hmm. And then any gust of wind, and it's like a... It's a dust storm, right? Well, now, at this moment, it's pouring with rain.
Oh, good.
Turning said... It's like a milky, like, thick mud.
Mud, yeah.
Because it's that really fine dust. Like, yeah, it's powder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun, Bevo. Anyhow, and then Doc's doing his thing. So we got me and Tasty and JP holding down the fort tonight for... we're going to be speaking to the founder and brewmaster of Ale Apothecary. Paul Arney is going to be on the line with us today.
Yeah, out of Oregon.
Out of Oregon. Yeah. And so... And I'll tell this to Paul when he's on the line, but a few months back, we got a shipment of their beer. It was a very special shipment for they don't really ship beer out of Oregon.
No.
But we were doing a sour event, and we reached out to them, and they were kind enough to do it. And my staff was going crazy about getting this beer here.
Oh, wow.
They wanted to buy it before we ever put it on sale.
Yeah.
So a very kind of one of those coveted breweries we're talking to tonight with a lot of great beer. I think that they sent us beer, right, Bevo?
They did. They sent us two bottles of beer, two 750s.
Oh, great.
So which is how limited their kind of runs are. And he was like, look, I'm really kind of nervous about shipping a bunch of beer to California.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't worry about it. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's very protective of the quality of his beer.
It sounds
which
like
is cool.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When we did it, we had to do a whole special shipping thing. Mm-hmm. It was very expensive, but people wanted the beer, so we just built it into the price here at the Grenade. But yeah, he would only ship a certain way and things. And
totally.
Good. That's why it's coveted beer.
Well, I think that's what we want. So, I mean, that's what we've been pushing for in the industry this whole time, right? Is people being not only protective of the beer on the retail side, but also how that beer gets delivered is where most of your damage happens in the first place.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we'll be talking to Paul from Ale Apothecary today, and we're excited about that. You can call in 888-401-BEER if you have your own questions, or as always, you can join Bevo in the chat room. She's there, and she'll send your questions along to me, and we'll learn about all the different beer styles. Have you had any of their beer before, Tasty?
Yes, I have, just in bottles, so nothing on draft.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, that's what we're going to have again tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let's get through just a few announcements to get you all ready for what's upcoming. I've been telling you about Drake's 27th anniversary party. Even just saying that number in craft beer still kind of blows my mind. There's just not many, right? We just had a Ballast Point event here last week celebrating their 20 years in the business. So Drake's is doing that on Friday, August 26th. I believe that's this coming Friday. And I know JP's going to go out there.
I am.
Tasty's going to be
there.
I'll
be there. Sure.
I heard Nate is going to be there. Nate Smith is
going to
be hanging out. Yeah,
nice.
Nate and Nicole. Kim Schimke from the Brewing Network here might show up. So you'll get to meet some BN staff, but more importantly, all the different things that they have going on August 26th. So you can go over to drinkdrakes.com to get all the information that you need. There's going to be a first taste of this year's Aromacoma brews. Some original Drake's beers from 1989 are going to be on hand, they say.
Like what? They're pale ale?
No.
Probably a lot of barley.
If they're made
like
again, well, maybe they made old recipes, which
would be cool.
Super interesting to like taste a 27-year-old recipe pale ale or IPA.
Oh God, yes!
Compared to today's pale ale or IPA and how the hops have changed and things like that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Well, or use the hops from then, like use this Cascade or
Yeah.
Cascade Centennial or something.
Might have just done that, yeah. Cool. There's going to be some firkin tappings all over the place, they say, and sample some new beers that you've never seen before. So go check it out. There'll be a Meet the Brewers booth, and yeah, you name it. They're doing it up for their 27 years. Your ticket gets you unlimited tasting of all the Drake's brews and some alumni guest brews. Music by Sam Chase and Girl Six, which is a Prince tribute band.
Oh, snap.
I mean, I want to go just for that, but I can't.
I will live stream it for you.
Do it. Live stream it to me yeah. out on the playa. I'll watch it in my mud-filled RV. There'll be a free shuttle running from the downtown San Leandro BART station beginning at 3:45. You just got to show your ticket to ride that. And unlimited non-alcoholic beverages, including cold brew coffee. So that's nice. And finally, an anniversary toast at 7:30. So check it out. It's this Friday. You can go to drinkdrakes.com and get all the info and go support our friends at Drake's. They're good people and they make great beer. If you're looking to support some of the BN staff, our good friend Scott Moskowitz does the Hop Life gear. That's the little hop people drawings that he does. There's paintings and t-shirts and prints of the paintings. Go check it out at Hop Life Store. People really like them. We hang them up here at the Hop Grenade, and not only does it look great in our place, but people come in all the time and ask if they can buy them. They like them. So if you're a beer geek like us, check out hoplifestore.com. If you want to support the whole BN and just not spend any extra money, just do that normal spending that you do, hit the Amazon link on our homepage. And you can do that in the UK and the US, and it supports us. A lot of you do it, and we appreciate it. You can also just donate by hitting the donate button on the homepage. And if you do so, you are entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, which enters you for a chance to win $100 to spend at More Beer every single month. And the more you donate, the more chances you have to win. So check it out. And if you are a donor, make sure your address is current in PayPal, because that's how we notify you. Also, I got an email from somebody this week who was a little upset. They said that they sent me an email a year ago to cancel their subscription.
Okay.
And that I didn't do so. Would I please do so now? And I just want to let you all know. I searched through my email. There was no email.
Yeah.
But you are in charge of your own subscription. You just log into your own PayPal account. So just, you know, don't feel locked in for life when you sign up. You can log right back in and go to your subscriptions and delete it at any time. There's no commitment, and you don't need me, or you don't have to wait for some response because I'm off gallivanting around the world. You can just log into your own PayPal account and end your subscription at any time.
Terminate it.
Wanted anybody to know that. You don't have to. We're not really in control of it. I can go in. It's actually harder for me to go in and cancel it than it is for you. So if you're fed up with us or you know, just times are tight, that happens too, just log in and cancel your own subscription. I refunded him, by the way, his year of subscription.
Very generous.
No, you did.
Yeah, I don't want anybody paying that I don't want to pay.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't get the email, I'm not going to go, well, suck it for you. I'm keeping your $24. no, I gave it back.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So what's that? I got to drink four less beers this week or something like that.
That's going to be tough. I think it would be tougher to do that than to go in and cancel his account on your end.
That's probably true.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah. All right. Get updates and things and stories and life
and
lessons on Twitter and
stuff.
Facebook.
Yeah, do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Twitter is how you play the Twitter game.
That's right. You can just search Brewing Network on any of those things, and you know, we'll send you messages. We send you our life. We send
we'll send you messages.
No, I don't know.
We're going to slide some dick pics into the DMs, dude.
I don't even know what we do over there. Kim Schimke does it, and she does a great job. I'm pretty sure it's relevant information. I don't know. I haven't heard any complaints.
So. It's information.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. All right. Send feedback and show ideas over to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com, and then Bevo can book your favorite guest, or we'll read your email on the air. All right. Do we have a Twitter game tonight?
We do.
I was hoping that we had a Twitter game tonight. I always hope for Twitter games, you know?
I know that about you.
Do you believe me?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Twitter game today is brought to you by White Labs. God, do I love that company, White Labs. And check out what they're doing. It's not just a... Wait, did we already miss it? Oh, it would be today. Voting starts on the 8th, August 15th, and August 20th. Okay, good. today's your last day to do some of this. Here we go. Not just another brewery collaboration. This is a collaboration that puts you in charge. White Labs is asking you to help choose what beer they'll help that they will tap during special events at their San Diego and Boulder tasting rooms. So let's throw out those stiff style guidelines and get creative. Visit whitelabs.com/SDBW. I think that stands for San Diego Beer Week, SDBW. And cast your vote for style, recipe, and yeast strains that will be used on the resulting beer. Voting start on August 8th for the style, August 15th for the recipe, and today, August 22nd for the yeast strain. So you can still get in there and vote. Cast your vote and join White Labs then on November 6th for a special tapping at their San Diego tasting room, or November 10th at their Boulder tasting room. So once again, it's whitelabs.com/SDBW. Go check it out. All right, what's our Twitter game?
Well, this was going to be much more interesting when I thought that Doc was going to join us today. But I did text him the other day. He and I text every now and then, especially when a Toto song comes on. I have to take a screenshot
and
text it to him. And then I asked him why he's not called a skeleton cleaner. You know, I send him weird random shit because he cleans, you know, your teeth, right?
Your bones.
Yeah.
They're your bones.
Essentially. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Anyways. And so he told me that he is now about to have a third child. He told me that.
Okay.
He's about to have a third child.
Wow.
So I thought
he was stressed out.
Yeah, well, exactly right. So I thought after 11 years, us as a family, as the Brewing Network listeners, could name the thing.
Okay.
Let's name Doc's new kid.
Okay.
Like my lead in, it's a little long way around, but
I like
got
it.
There.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was stuck on a birth control issue.
Doc has no control. You should know that.
Apparently. Oh, boy, how old is he now?
Too old, I think, to be doing this. But, you know, hey, look, if it works downstairs, it works.
It works.
In pairs? I don't know.
I'd have gotten that thing tied up a long time ago.
Dude, are you kidding me?
I was thinking about getting myself tied up just the other day.
Yeah.
I never had a serious thought process about that. But for some reason, the other day, I was like, you know what? I'm pretty sure I'm never going to use those parts. So maybe I should just tie them up.
I thought about it, too, and then not telling Taryn.
Right.
But I don't know. I guess I'm
that
broken.
Awful.
I guess I'm broken.
What's worse, because there have been instances in history where women have what I call pulled the goalie.
Yes.
In other words, decided it's time to have children. So, the birth control disappeared, or I don't know what happened, right?
Yeah.
So, is it just as bad if a dude does that? I think it is, right? Like, if a dude just goes and gets tied up.
But the reverse way, right.
But it's just as bad, like, to not talk about it and not tell anybody.
You're going
to
be unknowingly safe. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like bringing a second coat because it might rain and not telling anybody. I don't know. I'm being safe. I'm being sure right now.
Being safe.
I'm thinking of the results of the fertility test, the inevitable fertility test, because that's what happens.
Oh, I see. That's true. Yeah, I guess.
Well, you got zero.
I guess that's true. They don't see. I'm so naive. Sometimes I think if you go home and go, it doesn't work, no questions asked.
Well, so then maybe you go to the doctor, but she's not going to go with you or ask to see the results unless you have one of those women who don't trust you completely. And then they go, well, let me see the. Like Taryn, she's a pushover. Come on, are you kidding me? I'd be like, no, I don't know. The doctor said everything's fine and maybe it's you. I don't know.
And then one day in your email, she's going,
maybe it's you?
Emo. I didn't even pick up on that.
You're a horrible person.
She goes into a deep depression. Yeah, it's probably you. I mean, you've been through a lot.
you're stressed, and just you want you slow down, and then, but no need to go to the doctor. It's just look, if God wants us to have a baby,
this is where sometimes I wish I was religious because there's a lot you can get away with just by saying
it's God's plan.
It's God's plan.
Bev, turn your microphone off.
I certainly want to.
Sorry,
I wish laser beams could shoot out of my eyes.
Me
too. Sorry, my wiener stopped working. Guess God doesn't like it.
God doesn't like it.
Not a fan of the wiener.
God doesn't like your wiener. You made it.
How sad is that?
Right.
Mm. Yeah, don't argue with me. I'm the sad one here. God doesn't even like my wiener.
Yeah. Look, even Picasso, I'm sure, wasn't pleased with everything he did. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. All right. Name Doc's baby.
Name Doc's baby.
It's a new game. I love it. Should we do some feedback?
Let's do it.
All right. Feedback's brought to you today by our friend John over at the Beer Law Center. Go to beerlawcenter.com and check it out. He protects the Hop Grenade trademark and has been doing so for a long time. He does a really good job of it. He can also do your TTB filings, especially if you're in North Carolina. And he's just an all-around good guy who really gets it. He doesn't send out those super angry emails that a random non-beer lawyer would do. He's the beer lawyer. So go to beerlawcenter.com and check it out. I got an email about Burning Man this week.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, there's a Burning Man homebrew club out there.
Stay far away.
I've been to one or two of them in the past, and I don't know if this is one of them. But he says, hey, guys, I'll start off by saying that I visited the Hop Grenade last month, and wow, it's a lot nicer than I anticipated based on my perception of you all as people. So good job with that.
Thanks.
He says, that's what I call professionalism. Yeah, exactly. You just hire out. Second, Burning Man's totally about to happen. I meant to reach out to y'all sooner. My friends and I run a homebrew bar camp called the Belligerent Gap, where a Western-themed homebrew camp, and we're also a bunch of assholes, which, if I understand correctly, is your kind of people. That's true. We like that. So a few of us brew all the beer and cider we serve out there, and we'll have roughly 175 to 200 gallons this year. A lot of it's great. Some not, but yeah, it'll get you drunk.
That's homebrew. Yeah. I mean, really.
So, and he says, I guess for anybody listening who is going to Burning Man, I'll read the address. It's at 545 and H. If you get heckled upon entry, you probably deserved it. And I guess he's saying that one of their brewers, DT, also organizes a homebrew tour on Tuesday. And he said it's exactly what it sounds like, a shit-faced crawl through a bunch of homebrew bars on the playa. And then there's a link to information about it, which I'll check out. So that's kind of... Now, when I first started going Tasty, if I remember right, and that was about 8 years ago or something, there was, I think, one homebrew camp.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And over the years, we've seen more and more, which is really cool. And the beer's gotten better, by the way, too. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. You can go out to the middle of this event and now do a homebrew tour.
Yeah.
That's like your cup of tea.
I'd be perfect. I'd love that.
By the way, I'm bringing some cookies with me. Well, my friend had leftover Tasty,
yeah, sure.
And I figure, I don't ever use
you
them.
You need more?
I mean, right?
It's a gift
but
to
I
give.
Need gifts. Yeah. Oh, I would love more. It's like a great gift to give.
I'll give some
more. I have like a full sleeve right now.
No, you need more.
There's 60,000 people out there.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to need Johnny Appleseed of the
brand.
You
need an extra trailer.
But I'm terrible. Like, it's a gift to come, and I'm terrible at it. And I saw those in my freezer, and I was like, I finally have something cool to give.
They hold up pretty well in your pocket and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Durable.
Do you make like a bunch and then freeze them and then dole them out? Like how long does it take? How many do you make?
I make enough
batch?
For 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Is your son still in on the gig? Like he helps out, or it's all you now? It's a solo operation.
Never was him.
Oh, I see. I thought it was like you sucked at it or something, but
I thought that too.
That
actually,
maybe
that's starting to sound familiar.
My weed guy has stolen my whole idea. He makes a lot on.
Oh.
And making the same cookies.
Oh, really?
Sell them, yeah.
Yeah.
Does he at least give you a discount now, like a finder's fee or something?
No, and he charged me full price for weed and shit.
What a dick.
Yeah.
What a dick.
All right, well, cool. Yeah,
what's his name?
I got to bring some more cookies out.
Yeah. I'll blurt it out.
Give me his address.
All right, anyway, they're doing some anniversary stuff. They got a Berliner Weitz on tap and some other things, so he wants us to come by and say hi. So,
yeah, that sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, I might go check it out. You know.
Where all the beer is room temperature.
Yeah. My problem is I don't schedule anything. So people go, come by at 4 o'clock on Wednesday.
That's never gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
Same way at NHC. Like we're gonna tap this keg of this Sean special fucking root beer float or whatever at 2:38.
Yeah.
Bro, unless I'm walking by, you're gonna miss me.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, Max, I'll grab Doc and we'll try to get out there. He goes on to say, as far as feedback goes, I think I'm obliged to add something. So I'll say that Muse is awful and I don't like it. So you should take it out of your intro or whatever. Or don't. That's okay, too.
There you go. Non-committal feedback. I love it.
See, now I'm not going to go because there are some things in life that I do judge people by.
Yeah.
Musical tastes.
And not liking Muse, I think, is one of them.
Well, you can't spell music without Muse, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wait. Yeah, you can.
I mean, the guy... I won't go into it. If you don't like Muse, you have a problem.
Yeah, I got a problem.
Case in point.
They're fine.
I just, from a talent perspective, the way that the singer, guitar player, piano player, songwriter, all one guy,
yeah,
he's a virtuoso.
Right.
He's a virtuoso on all of those instruments.
Yeah.
In a talent perspective. So you don't have to like the music, actually, but right. It's not like the shit, like some bunch of kids getting there, like, I can play four chords of punk rock music. Like, the guy is actually a classically trained virtuoso. And then he puts it into these rock ballads, and you're like, anyway, fuck you, Max. All right. This is about being a donor, dear Asshats and Bevo. I just want to say thanks for all you guys do. I was laid off last year and had way too much time to catch up on the session back when Justin actually hosted it. Brew Strong, Dr. Homebrew, etc. I told myself that when I was working full-time again, I would start donating to the BN and help keep Justin away on whatever fucking mental vacation he needs at his time. Well, lo and behold, last week I landed a full-time gig.
Right.
Yeah, good job, John. So to keep my promise, I've signed up as a corporal in the BN. Keep up the good work. I hope I stay employed so I can continue to donate. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate that, and thanks for sticking to your word. All right, Mason writes in. This is about, I guess we were talking about a double-wide sign last week.
Yeah, so we were talking about if we were to start a studio in North Korea, what would it be called? Hmm. And it was like Bevo's Sad, Double-Wide Sad Time Area or whatever.
That's right.
It's actually the name of my office.
It is. Okay, well, guess what, Bevo? He said, I just finished listening to the Pelican episode a couple moments ago. I own a laser cutter and a woodworking shop, so I will make you a free Bevo's Double Wide Sad Job Studio plaque if you haven't already ordered one.
I have not.
Let me know if you're interested, and we can discuss details. Mason, I will send your information over to Bevo, and I do think, look, there's a space right above your door for the plaque so that people, even on the door, there's room so people know what they're entering.
Wow, I can have a, what's it called, a tile, a placard?
Yes.
It's like a thing.
It's
a name plaque.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not like your name or anything, but it's kind of is. It has your name in it. Yeah, it's long. It's going to be a big plaque. Bevo's Double Wide Sad Job Studio.
Really, really small font.
Mason, yes, please, get to work right away. I'll connect you with Bevo. All right, and then finally, Casey writes in about complaining. Dear Brewing Network, the reason why people are concerned about your complaining is because everyone's afraid that you're going to cancel the show. I love the show. We love to hear what's going on. We just want you to be happy. This might be the nicest email I've ever received.
And then, how do they sign off?
Sincerely.
That's the most sincere.
Right?
Right. It's like, that's the only time I think anybody's ever used the term sincerely and actually meant it.
And meant it.
I think this person really is very sincere about what she's saying.
I read this earlier today and we just want to hear what's going on, and we just want you to be happy. And I almost was in tears.
Very nice.
What a very nice sentiment.
That's what I want, too.
Well, fear not. I can't cancel the show. It still pays my bills. And
that's why.
And I am occasionally happy. So what more could one ask right now, right?
That's what a job is, right? It's where you're only occasionally happy.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's why they call it a job.
I just meant in life, but at the job too. But yeah. I mean, who's more than occasionally happy anyway, right?
I don't know. I think I'm more than. Casey, you got to be more than occasionally happy.
I'm over 50%.
He's high.
When I'm not high.
Maybe I need to pick up smoking again. What do you think? Should I become a stoner again? Maybe I'll stop being such a pain in the ass.
I thought you were all needy and emotional and... Oh, wait.
But maybe when I'm a stoner, it'll take the edge off, right? I'll go back to like...
Didn't you have anxiety issues? Paranoia?
I do. But not when I was a stoner, I didn't. It was only when I quit and then went back.
When you quit,
now I have anxiety issues.
Don't be a quitter.
Right. I never should have quit. Although I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't quit. I had to get on with it.
Where is that?
Well, I have a job.
Concord.
Here.
I would never be in Concord right now.
Come on. I own two companies.
It's true.
I meant here in the literal sense, not like here is bad. You're here.
I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be here. I'd
exist.
I would. You know where I'd be? I wouldn't be in here. No. I'd be behind the bar or something like that. Like, I'd still be a bartender or server had I not quit smoking weed.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, or maybe I'd be a creative genius.
Maybe you'd be Michael Phelps. That fool smoked pot.
Casey, thank you for the fine piece of feedback. That was very nice of you. All right. I guess we'll get on with it.
Okay, let's do that.
Should we do that?
Yeah, why not, man?
We got a lot to do tonight. And by a lot, I mean it's basically our normal schedule.
Yeah.
You know. but we are going to be talking to Ale Apothecary, which I'm excited about, and I'm excited to try their beer. We'll do that in just a moment. 888-401-BEER or hit the chat button on the homepage. Join us. It's The Session.
Listening to the Brewcasters. Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. The Vault, created by White Labs. The Vault is a collection of new, creative, and unique yeast strains from around the world. These strains have never been available to homebrewers. Most have not even been available to professionals. You have the power to release the yeast. Through the Vault, White Labs is giving you the power to decide which strains are put into production and giving you the opportunity to brew with these strains. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault and pre-order the yeast strain of your choice and encourage your friends to do the same. Once 250 pre-orders have been achieved, White Labs will put that strain into production. The strain will be mailed directly to your doorstep, ready to make the beer you've always wanted to brew. This program was created with the homebrewer in mind. White Labs is relying on you to help release these strains, which may blaze the way for future new and unique beers. Help release the yeast. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff. Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Brewcasters are back.
888-401 beer.
Whatever.
That's right, we're back, and we're here to remind you about Great Fermentations, a wonderful homebrew supply shop that supports this program. They've been very good to us, and they'll be good to you. You can go to greatfermentations.com and check them out. They've got the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web and provide same-day shipping on some of the main ones, where other vendors can take up to 3 weeks. Staff is some of the best trained using the Blickman products, and they offer top-notch customer service. Go like them on Facebook at Great Fermentation, and also Twitter and Instagram. GreatFermentations.com. All right, on the line with us right now, we should have our wonderful guest for today, Paul Arney from Ale Apothecary. Paul, are you with us? Oh, he hung up. It's 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row? Did we have that problem last time?
Last week, just I wonder if sometimes what happens is
the number you are calling does not accept unidentified calls. If you are a solicitor,
we got that last time too.
If you're a solicitor, eat my balls.
Call him up, see what's up.
I told him you would be getting a call from a weird number.
Yeah, but this is going to be difficult because if it's on his whole phone line and he can't change that.
But he would just call us then, right?
Yeah, but then it's not going to sound very good.
No, because we're doing it right.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
This is going to be tricky. Give him a call, Beav, and see what you can do.
So it's tricky to rock a rhyme. It's right on time. That's tricky.
Tricky.
Yeah, I'm looking at these bottles right here, man. I'm really excited about them.
So what did he send us?
He sent us a bottle of something called Latash.
Wait, I have like the full names of those, though. Like, there like a name and a full name?
Sorry. The beer formerly known as Latash.
Okay.
And that is a wild and open fermented in the woods of Oregon. Beer. It's malted barley and wheat with Goschi Farms hops. Spent a year in Pinot barrels and dry hopped in oak, Oregon honey, and sour wort, and their yeast equals 100% natural carbonation from bottle fermentation. So they're bottle carving, and they're using honey and some wort.
To
prime the bottles, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, sugar and yeast, yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, most people just throw in a primer sugar, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah,
but like,
it's kind of a crazy thing.
But honey and sour wort, so they're using wort from another batch?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. And then we have something called Whosever Has Let a Minotaur Enter Them, or a Sonnet.
That's the name.
That's the name of the beer.
We realize now that I have to stop making fun of the rare barrel and start making fun of Ale Apothecary for their scheme.
That's true. Apparently, this was brewed in conjunction with a poet friend, Emily Carr.
Okay.
And it was made with blackberries and love poems, it says.
Oh.
In wine and bourbon barrels, like the mythical Minotaur. Minotaur beer is more than the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. It has a tobacco finish, tastes like blackberries, like ripe blackberries, it says.
Sounds good.
But there's no label on it. And it's kind of cool. Like, they have their... like hang tags, essentially, you know, like packaging tags or whatever with their artwork.
But the other one has a label, right?
The other one has a label, but the Minotaur, maybe that's a special like brewery release only or something like that. There's no label on that.
I kind of like that.
Maybe out of the library, you know, where they keep the whole beer back.
Yeah. But I like the presentation, man. It has, you know, just a little like twine.
Yeah, like a burlap twine.
Rustic looking. Yeah,
it looks like the twine you use used for hops.
Yeah.
Oh, and like baling twine.
Yeah, when it was a special twine, I forgot. Hemp or something. It's a special kind of twine that the things grab onto easily.
Yeah. It should be hemp. Really. It's all part of the same family.
Come on, let's get real. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it saves costs and looks cool.
Yeah, look great. And I can't wait to try this.
Yeah, like I said, people get really excited about these beers, and I know that the brewer Paul is excited about them too. He's his history was with Deschutes for most of his career.
Oh wow,
he's a trained brewer, so he did go to school. We're going to learn about that. But he was with Deschutes for years, and then opened his own place there in Oregon too. So that's where they came from, Ale Apothecary.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, man. I've never really heard about him, and then I was talking to Dave at Flattail, and he's like, "You know who you guys should talk to is Paul Ale Apothecary." I'm like, "I've never heard of it."
Ah,
but because they don't really distribute all that. We talked about that in the last segment. They don't really send their beers down here.
Sure.
Because, dude, they're like the brewery up here right now.
Really?
Yeah. So I kind of feel pretty lucky that we were able to get him on so soon, and he sent a couple beers, and they seem really nice. They're very heavy duty, 750 mils, corked. Which is good that we found our decorker. You know what I mean?
We haven't had him in here in a while, right? Things.
Right, we haven't had it in a while. And so, like, I brought the beers in, I pull them out. I was like, oh, shit. we need a decorker, a corkscrew or whatever.
A dick corker?
A dick corker.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. I think dick corker would be amazing.
It's a website, I think. All right, I'm ringing up Paul now, so we'll see if this one works. We got another number to try, and I don't know, in Oregon, you have to ride a bike to use the phone at the same time, I think.
I think if you've showered within 3 days, you can't use the infrastructure.
Phone.
It has to be 3 days or more.
It's an Oregon rule.
Right.
Let's try it. Paul, are you with us?
I am, yeah.
Hi. There we go. Success after all. How are you, Paul? Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, doing well. Thank you. Sorry about all that. I don't use the landline very often, but
no problem.
I learned something.
Yeah, well, it sounds like somebody there at your house was smart enough to block unknown calls. I think that's actually it's a good move. I like it. All right. So Paul is with Ale Apothecary, as I've been saying. Paul, we were starting to talk a little bit about you. We got your couple beers that you sent, so we were mentioning those, and we're going to taste them here in a minute. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long you've been brewing beer, and where did you learn to brew?
Well, I guess I started brewing with my pop, you know, when I was between the ages of 16 and 18, doing some homebrew. We didn't do a heck of a lot of it, but we did a little bit and, you know, enjoyed ourselves and carried that on to when I graduated from college with a degree in geology, and, you know, had no idea or clue on how to use it. And so right. Was out there kind of just, you know, I don't know. I tell a lot of people this, and they all, a lot of people agree that, you know, the way that college is set up these days, not a whole heck of a lot of help how you get into the working industry. And so I ended up working in a coffee shop, and this fellow kept coming in, drinking quad tall mochas. He was chatty. But he ended up being the brewer at our local brewery down there, Glacier Peak. And the brewer was, his name was Tom Munoz. And he let me shadow him for a little bit and, you know, mess up one of his brews, of course. And so, you know, and at that point, he was kind of sharing with me, you know, you can, you know, take some of that education and you know, go to school for something like this and learn more. And so I looked into that and ended up putting myself through Davis Master's
good.
Program in 1995-96. And along the way, kind of spent some time. A buddy of mine was brewing at Maritime Pacific up there in Seattle, so I spent some time with him there. But when I got out of school, I ended up getting a job down at Deschutes Brewery in 1996 and was there in two different, segments. The first one was 96 to 2003. And the second one was 2004, late 2004 until 2011.
Wow.
And then I started my own project.
Okay. So you're at Deschutes for a while, which by the way,
I know. In that career.
Right? But that I'm a big fan of Deschutes. I think they make wonderful beer, so it really seems like a great place to learn about all different styles of brewing.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fabulous. You know, and then on top of that, we had, you know, in the times that I was there, we had three wildly different brew houses. You know, we had our you know, 10 to 12 barrel pub operation, you know, single infusion type thing. And then we had our 50 barrel JV, very manual production brewery that that's what I ran production on for a very long time. And then, you know, I was part of the Hoopman 150 barrel complete automation new brew house as well. So it was like, it was, you know, being able to see all these different elements and seeing the same beers across those brew houses too, was really, really something to learn from.
Yeah, I would think a lot to learn how to make consistently the same beer across those platforms is a big learning curve. How many, by the time you left, because I know Deschutes grew quite a bit, how many brewers would you say were there? 10, 20 brewers?
Oh, you mean like how many we had on the schedule? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
2011.
Like, yeah. It was like over 14 to 16 maybe, something like that.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of production. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe this sounds like a silly question, but everyone has different answers. What made you decide to go off on your own and do your own project after that?
Well, it's actually really easy, you know, like, I mean, just like we've been talking about, it was a great place to learn, a lot of great people, and I had learned through those years, the things that I liked about brewing and identified myself as a brewer and took great pride in the fact that this is this craft that goes back, you know, it's one of the first occupations of, you know, civilized human beings in some circles. It's, you know, there's a long history tradition, and, you know, I appreciated the skill and all the things I learned. And so when the time came, you know, I'd reached the lofty assistant brewmaster status and was running research and development stuff down at the public house. So I was on the small brew house system. I was creating brews. I was brewing. I was sharing my knowledge of how to make beer with our younger brewers. But, you know, with a, you know, a company of that size and the nature of things, you know, it makes sense when the brewmaster wants the assistant brewmasters to learn, you know, learn all the ropes, you know, so when he steps away, others can fill in. And so there came a time when they asked me to, you know, leave what I'd been doing and move into the, you know, operation of the cellars, which, you know, consisted of, you know, budgets and schedules and, you know, a lot of non-brewing related tasks and sitting behind the desk. And it did not sit well with me. And so, you know, at that point, I chose to leave.
Okay.
To continue brewing.
And then when you left is when you opened Ale Apothecary, or was there something in between?
No. I mean, I gave them a long notice. I think it was like a 3 or 4 month notice in with the idea that I had to figure my shit out before I walked out the door, because, you know, the wife and I had really risked a lot financially to get this really awesome piece of property up here in the woods. And in fact, before we made the deal, I promised her, you know, hey, I'll work at the Deschutes Brewery forever, you know, to maintain this mortgage, honey, don't worry about it. Of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, you know, what was it? It was 2007 when we moved in here, and I left in 2011, you know, I didn't last that long.
Right.
So I had to kind of get my wits under me and come up with a plan.
And the plan was your own brewery.
Yeah. The plan was to do something different and unique, and try to tie this really special place in with the project, and use all the things that are special to that I find special, or the things I find value in with my family and work, and try and just tie it all together. You know, the big thing was if the brewery was able to work, then we would be able to keep this property, you know, and if this brewery venture wasn't to be, you know, we'd have to move on. And I think that for me was this really liberating thing. Like, I mean, granted, I spent my entire 401k and borrowed money to try and pull it off, but in the end, it allowed me to not go down paths that maybe I, well, that I know that I wouldn't have wanted, that would have made me terribly unhappy, and it allowed me to stay true to my vision.
I like your style. So it sounds to me, because I don't have all the details, but it sounds to me like you bought a wonderful piece of property there in Oregon that you really love, and then you built the brewery on the property that you live on. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. So we do live, you know, we live on the property, and basically the way that it worked out is now we have, you know, we've got the water comes from up here, you know, and we've cultured this yeast and bacteria, you know, mixed fermentation culture with, you know, mutated lab yeast and wine yeast and the stuff from the air up here. And we've got about a 500 square foot brewery where we do our open primary fermentation in oak, and we have one Doug Fir fermenter or Doug fermenter. And once the beer goes from the open fermentation to aging barrels, we bring it down into town where we have a 5,000 square foot barrel aging cellar bottling area, and we're building out our tasting room right now.
Ah, okay. I'm glad you ended with that, because when you said I have a 500 square foot brewing facility, I was like, oh, Jesus. No wonder the beer is so expensive. But then you say, oh, I have 5,000 square feet to actually a facility to store all this elsewhere down in town. So
right, yeah, because okay. The process to make the beer takes close to 2 years.
Got it. Wow.
So, yeah, we got to have a place to store it all.
Of course. Well, so I don't know if you know this, but we broadcast our show from the Hop Grenade Tap Room here in Concord. It's my other company. And a few months ago, we actually were able to get some of your beer back in February, for SF Beer. We did a sour event, and you were kind enough, and I know this doesn't happen very often, but to arrange to get us beer down here for our sour event. And you have no idea how excited not only the people around here to try your beer, but my staff was going out of their mind. Like they almost wouldn't let us sell the beer. They all wanted to buy it first.
Right on.
They were so excited.
That's great. No, that's fantastic. That makes my day. I love it.
It was cool. And it was we had a great event. You were a big part of it. And like I said, I know you don't do that very often. So we were honored. And I actually hadn't tried your beer up until that point. But my staff, who had done some traveling through Oregon, they knew about it and just absolutely loved it. So
should we bust one of these open, speaking of beers?
Yeah. So you sent us a couple beers, Paul. And let me read this, and you can tell us which one to open. I have to admit something to you first. There's a local brewery here.
You're going to open up the Latage first.
The Latage. Okay. So start the Latage.
Okay.
And so one of our local breweries here, the Rare Barrel, whom we love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I make fun of them constantly for the way that they name their beers. I won't let it go.
That's a keen observation.
They have the dumbest name in Sorsold and the longest name. They know I feel this way, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm reading in your pre-interview now. The beer we're about to try is called the beer formerly known as Latash. Now, this name's not so bad. I do want you to explain it. But the next one that we're going to try is Whosoever Has Let a Minotaur Enter Them or a Sonnet is the full name. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and evidently I picked the two beers with our longest names.
You did.
I'm feeling pretty happy about it. I'm stoked.
Well, here's the good news. The good news is for the Rare Barrel. I now have to stop making fun of them and move my... You're now my new target, Paul, for beer names.
Great. You know, I mean, like I say, we don't have a sales and marketing budget, so, anything is good.
Right. Look, that's true. Any publicity.
It needs a name. Let's do it.
All right. Tell us about Latage.
All right. Well, the story there, this is the longer the two stories, by the way. So, with Sisters tagging on, you'll be like, okay, I can read this to the next one's easy. This one, when I was in brew school, I was a good friend of mine, Niles Ackerley, who runs Mad Fist down in St. Julien. Are you familiar with this brewery?
Yes.
Mad Fist, yeah. So he has been a vintner for the past, 20-ish years, 17 years or whatever, since we met at Gala, so we stayed friends. When I was down there ages ago, before I started my project, he was showing me around one of these fancy mountain wineries he was working at, and he had this little dog with him. And the little dog had a spot on the back of the dog, and he named his dog Taj, and he told me that the word Taj meant spot. And for some reason, that stuck in my mind. And here I am years later, working my own brewery. And initially, I was only going to make one beer. A Saheli beer with our flagship. And there was so much crazy stuff going on with the brewing industry. And I wanted to do something different. And, one of the ways I was going to kind of emulate Orval, right? So, like, we're going to make one beer, bottle conditioned. It's going to be great when it's fresh. It's going to age out and it's going to change. And we're going to just, you know, kind of emulate that whole model. Well, very quickly after doing that, I realized, you know, I'm in America, and when you walk into a bar or a bottle shop, you're kind of telling you where, and the guy looks up, and he's like, okay, I've heard a little bit about you. We'll take two cases of every brand you have, and you've got one brand. It's like, well, I'm gonna change things. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make another beer. And so I was making this other beer in one of these fermenters that I create out of barrels and puncheons. And this barrel had a spot on it, and so I named the barrel Taj. I named all my barrels names and stuff just to give them something besides the number of barcode or something. So I named this barrel Taj, Lataj. And so when the beer came out, I was just like, I'm just going to call the beer Lataj because, you know, we're doing this Frenchy champagne method and the bottle conditioning. And, you know, the beer naming thing is such a pain in the ass. It's like, you know, nobody has got a beer named Lataj. So I called the beer Lataj. Went through the process of getting the label designed and getting it approved by the feds, and, you know, of course, put it on social media. And, look, everybody's got a beer number two. And, of course, you know, that's, you know, Niall follows me, and he, you know, we're kind of in touch with each other. And he got back in touch and was like, hey, Arnie, just to let you know, I named my dog after one of the most sought-after wines in the world, you know, made by the DRC. The wine's called Lepage, meaning the spot where the good grapes grow. You know, of course, I don't buy $6,000 bottles of wine very often. So it's right. Well off my radar.
Right.
But that's when I added the beer formerly known as, in hopes that the DRC would take note of this tiny little brewing mistake, and I could wave it around like this flag. Like, if you notice this, you know, but they haven't noticed this.
No such luck. Okay.
No. So we still have the beer formerly known as the Taj, which, you know, and after, you know, Prince's sad passing recently, you know. I was kind of proud to have this beer already lined up, and it's like, you know, yeah, it's an homage to my particular time in history, and it's cracked me up. I love it.
I agree with you. It's actually a great, and most of the names I make fun of the Rare Barrel for are great names too. So this one's good. The next one I might have to talk to you about. All right.
You read on there. It's a collaboration between myself and a poet. I hope.
Yeah, I did. Although I start here. Here's what I do. I started complaining first before I read the whole thing. I start going, God damn it! Here's another one with the long name, and I'm
these
going
organ
on,
people.
I'm going
come
on and on. Yeah, and then I got to the end, and I saw that it was a collaboration with a poet, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And, I mean, and to be honest, like, I've referred to that beer just as Minotaur ever since, you know, Emily and I decided to work on this project. And only when we made the label, like, I talked with her, it's like, well, we should just make the book and the label, the beer have the same name. And, you know, I just refer to it as Minotaur, but we went ahead and put the whole thing on the label just to kind of finish the whole thing out. But it's, I never refer to either one of those beers as, you know, they're full.
How ridiculous would that be? Yeah. He's like in the tasting room just going, oh, would you like another, whosoever has let a Minotaur enter them or a sonnet?
Yeah,
is that an option?
It's like those people that, you know, will be talking in, you know, their Pacific Northwest version of English, except when they say a French or a Spanish word, and then they try to have that right inflection on it. Hey guys, let's go out for enchiladas.
Yeah,
well, you need to be very culturally sensitive.
Totally,
I think, is what you have to be.
All right.
I have no culture. You know what I mean? It's like I'm trying to create my own culture, and it's painful sometimes.
See, that's, you know what? You and everybody else in Oregon is trying to create your own culture. We can see it when we pass through. But you're doing a good job.
It sounds like you're off the grid there quite a bit. How far away are you from, like, civilization?
No, not that far. It's beautiful. It's only like 10 miles, you know, and okay. Actually we've had a local company install some fiber optic cable that we should be tapping into here pretty soon and
nice.
Getting out of CenturyLink's awful quads. They just don't care.
So your tasting room is 10 miles down the road?
Yeah. So basically, the brewery's up west of town. We're up at about 4,700 feet in elevation.
Oh, wow.
Up here, it's a little cooler. You know, we've got conifers and pines, and you know, down Bendway, we've got more pines and junipers. But yeah, right on the west side of town, I've got a our barrel facility is in this old mill area, not the old mill. There's a shopping district called the old mill, but Bend was a big mill town back in the day. And so there's one that's on the west side of town that this fellow's renovated, and that's where I've got my spot.
Okay.
Now, when you mentioned that open fermentation and barrels, so are those covered with like a cloth or something, or how does that work?
Yeah, I cover them with muslin. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So can you describe the beer to our listeners for us? We're drinking the Latosh, and before I chime in with what we're tasting, I'd like to hear it from you. Just describe, you know, what beer you were going for, and you can even go into the ingredients, any of the brew process. You go as in-depth as you want.
Okay, great. Well, you know, the beautiful thing about the beers that we're creating here is I've tried really hard not to have an outcome when I'm making the beer. You know, like the project has been to try to make beer that is unique to the region. It's unique to itself, and it has its own particular characteristics that you couldn't duplicate if you tried to make elsewhere. Basically stole a lot of stuff from the wine world as far as how they present their value to the consumer. As you know, to close to the brewing side of things, where you know what we're used to is like consistency and mass quantities. I'm trying to talk about smaller, unique, and localized, right? And so we're fortunate enough to get our barley malt from Mecca Great Estate Malt, which is up in Madras. It's Seth Kwan and his family. They've had their farm for darn near probably 100 years or so, and Seth's kind of getting the reins to it now, and he's taking this direction, and they're growing this super awesome barley malt with the help of OSU. And it's just it's a really great match, because as of 2016, I can now say that all of our raw materials come from very specific local regions in the state of Oregon. You
know, all of them.
Our
do.
Water and yeast culture. What's that?
All of them do. That's amazing. Like
it
in other
is
words, yeah,
it's
not
really
just a portion.
I'm trying to figure out how I can get on the soapbox here and shout it to the world, you know, because it's very unique. It's very unique.
But, it really is, yeah.
You know, so, you know, the water and the yeast, you know, come from up here on our property. The malt comes from the Mecca Great Estate Malt up there in Madras. You know, we get our hops from Gail Goshi's farm in Silverton. And we're using local honeys now for our bottle conditioning ferment carbohydrate, you know, from the for bottle conditioning. So really, really pushing the local thing and the unique, you know, we could basically go directly to these farms, you know, which makes me feel good. You know, it's barley malt and even hops to a certain degree can be very, very commoditized and things that are shipped all over the place and stored here. And, you know, they can have a very large carbon footprint. And it's just been astonishing to see the quality of this stuff when you get a bag and it's got like it was malted, you know, 2 weeks ago. And I can go up to Seth's and we can check out his land. And he's like, yeah, this is where we're going to plant your rye. That's where we're planting your wheat. And, you know, this is what we're doing with the barley malt. And anyway, that's not specific to the Latosh, but
that's okay.
The Latosh,
yeah.
And the Saheli, both those two beers are kind of our house character beers. So we're using his, he refers to his, it's kind of like a Pilsner malt, and he calls it Pelton. His Pelton malt with some wheat, so the malt component is fairly minimal, and it's non-intrusive. You know, it's there to support everything that's going on, but it's not out in your face. And it really lets the house characteristics of what our brewery is about shine through, you know. So you can get the additional honey elements from that bottle fermentation and that really lovely, you know, that really exquisite carbonation. And you get that, the characteristic of the funk, but a not overwhelming funk,
mm-hmm.
and the acid profile that we're getting from our sour culture. You know, so it's, that's kind of like, this is our brewery, you know, that's how it's, displayed through the Latosh.
Is there any ginger in this beer?
No ginger.
It comes through somehow.
Ginger. You're getting ginger.
I'm getting a little ginger in a lovely way, by the way. It's
yeah,
like
not
a,
like a spicy, but like a sweeter
yeah,
portion of the
like
ginger.
Yeah, like a subtle, sweeter portion. Actually, a little spicy, though, too. I get a little heat on the tongue from it. And it does taste like wild fermentation to me, though, too. And I don't know if that's your culture, Paul, but I just thought maybe either in the course of the wild fermentation it's picking up a hint of that, or maybe that it's present enough for me that I thought maybe you even added it. But there's also...
No, and you know, it could be the honey as well. This whole honey thing is also really new to us. You know, we're seeing more, I guess, drift in each packaging. Basically, each, you know, we've got those batch dates on the bottles. And each one of those batch dates basically represents one barrel's worth of beer, one oak barrel's worth of beer. We package, it's like me and Jared. We're the guys that are holding this thing down. And he's brewing, and I'm doing the cellar work and doing the packaging and all the other crap that comes with running the business.
Yeah.
But
all that paperwork you didn't want to do.
So they're saying they're single barrel vintages. Okay.
And there's the whole idea is we're not playing this blending card. Like a lot of breweries, which I get, you know, they want to have a target acidity and they want to have a target flavor profile, or they're trying to make the best beer possible, and I totally support all that. But my approach is that I am just, you know, I'm just a man, you know, I'm just doing what I can, and these microorganisms and these processes, I can only do so much. And it's, to me, it's like that single malt whiskey. Like when you have something that's for a picture or window in time, a snapshot in time, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
So we're making the same beer, and they have, so you can have a litage with a May or a January or a September batch date, and they're going to all have certain shared elements. But there's these things that I can't control. I can't control Mother Nature, can't control what the barrel, you know, because we use different barrels, and each barrel, you can put the two same exact beers in two different barrels and come out with two different beers.
Yeah.
That excites me. So as opposed to trying to blend those nuances away, I want to present them right out in front, you know, like you're going to, and, you know, luckily we've got places to support this, like the Beer Mongers up in Portland. You can actually go up there and they'll sometimes have three different vintages of Latage up there.
Wow. Nice.
And there's some people that get excited about that. You know, you can get all three of them. They're the same exact beer, but they're bottled and brewed in different dates. And the beers are going to actually taste, they're going to have subtle nuances that are different from one another.
Well,
which is actually, with this honey thing, was actually being increased, I've noticed.
So I'm going to ask you about that in a second. I do just want to say that another reason people blend is a lot of times to add complexity. But this beer is plenty complex with the ginger notes, the some wild fermentation, some lemongrass I'm picking up. And, I mean, all sort. It is plenty complex on its own just coming from a single barrel.
Yeah, there are even some apricot qualities, too, coming through.
It's a lot.
It sounds like it's just the... bugs
this honey so let's talk about this honey because
the bottle fermentation, even without the honey, the bottle fermentation is extremely important, you know. It sometimes takes 3 to 6 months, and we do it with our mixed culture, and it adds an incredible amount of characteristics there. You know, generally they're fruit, you know, fruit oriented, tropical fruit type stuff. That's why I'm thinking that honey may be the source of where that ginger element's coming from.
So that's an interesting concept that you're using. A lot of people will just use simple sugar, right? Corn sugar or anything to, you know, you just need some sort of little fermentable to bottle condition. But you're choosing honey, it sounds like, because it's a local product. But obviously honey has a lot of flavor. So I would guess that your beer pre- and post-bottle conditioning tastes very different.
Yes, yeah, and actually when we do our little tasting sessions down at our cellar, we'll start with a beer that we've just pulled out of the barrel that we're going to bottle. You know, so out of our little bottling tanks, we'll take a sample, and then we'll taste one that has been through the bottle conditioning phase. And you're right. You're totally right. And if you think about it, like, I mean, it comes down to almost a tablespoon of honey per bottle. So it's not insignificant. And, you know, I mean, and just to kind of get on the other reason why I go this length and kind of this ideology thing is, I'm one of my mantras is art over industry, and I'm really trying hard not to use industrial processing aids. And there's a whole litany of things that brewers will do to move the beer through the brewery faster. You could have glycol to chill the tanks and drop the yeast out of solution. You could have whirl flock, you know, that
Irish moss agent that'll help drop proteins out of the beer. You can have calcium sulfates and all sorts of mine salts to, you know, get your pHs right. There's all sorts of things that brewers can use. Forced carbonation that carbonate beers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're talking about dextrose, these sugars that are coming from these factories that who knows what goes into making these things, those are the elements that I'm trying to avoid using in my beer. And so I'm trying to do something, you know, that I believe a lot of the origins of the Belgian brewing traditions rely on, which is this, you know, I'm trying to limit myself on how many options I have, because I really believe that's where the brewer's creative brain comes in. When you go through a catalog and you can basically order whatever you want, it feels like you're being creative, but in my experience, the real creative thing when you can really discover something new is when you really don't have any options and you got to use your brain and figure it out.
I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah, you're taking the hard route, but it sounds like it pays off.
Yeah.
And you're using boutique ingredients to make a boutique product.
But like I say, I'm sorry. Getting all excited here.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, please.
Let it rip. So are we.
Carry on. Yeah, we're doing the same, but go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, it's just one story I have is a few years ago, I did a speech for the Northwest NBA chapter. Very nerve-wracking because it was a year or two after, about 2 years after I left the shoots, still very new into my whole endeavor and didn't have any, like, street cred, really. And here I was about to give a discussion to about 400 brewers, you know, contemporaries that may share, may not share my opinions on how I think about things. And one of the best examples I could have about why I want to do things is I've got this buddy in town. His name's Hunter Dahlberg, and he runs a forge. His little company is called the Ryan Forge, and he makes stuff out of metal. And he has this this logo that he uses, which is basically, kind of a sketch version of him beating the shit out of some piece of hot metal on an anvil, right? It's very, it's very old world. You look at it and you're like, oh, my God, that's fucking cool. And then when you go see Hunter, that's exactly what he does. It's not. It's a literal example of what he does.
Yeah.
And here I was, experiencing this same feeling through a coaster about this Belgian brewery, which I'm not actually going to name, but showed this monk, stirring the mash or stirring something in an oak barrel in this, kind of caverny place with stone walls and barrels as far as you could see, no stainless. But then when I went and searched the brewery on the internet, what comes out, is that the brewery that they're making all this beer on is this state-of-the-art, totally automated system. And it really brought me down. It really brought me down. And I was just like, that is not going to be me. Like, I am going to celebrate this brewer's art that I love so much. And I'm going to try and figure out how to make beer using tools that maybe we lost along the way due to, Prohibition or Industrial Revolution or whatever. People have been making beer for thousands of years, right? And here we are in the modern age, and we can look back, we can look back 100 years, we can look back 125 years, but it's really hard to look back much further than that. And so that's kind of where, working at Deschutes for so many years gave me this this knowledge and this, confidence to put me in a position where I'm like, okay, I know certain basic things, but I'm going to, place this here. I'm going to do this here, and we're going to see where it goes. And that's kind of why I was saying that about the Latage. It's just like, I just get so excited because it's like traveling, without an itinerary. Sometimes you end up in those places that you would have never, ever imagined you could have been.
Sure. Right?
If you would have planned the whole trip out and made all your reservations, the trip would have gone great, but you wouldn't have, stumbled on that one thing that you talk about for the next 25 years.
And you're kind of backwards engineering your beer, in a sense, it sounds like. Like, with the state-of-the-art equipment that you've worked on before, and so and also you started on some not-so-state-of-the-art equipment, so you went all the way through the gamut, and now, with all of that knowledge, you're making the beer the way you want to. And it does feel like you're kind of backwards engineering, because it doesn't sound like you're using zero technology, and you're afraid to use modern techniques. You're just sort of combining the different, maybe classic techniques, things way farther back, with some of the newer stuff maybe to find your own.
Maybe you're using modern techniques to refine the classics.
Yeah.
Right?
Perfectly. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, I mean, and there's also the financial element, which,
right.
you know, doing this thing, with my whole deal, like I'm leaning on these old world methods because I can't afford to buy certain things. And, as time goes on, you know, and like we're building out this tasting room now, it's totally, different because I'm looking at this like, oh, I can actually go out and buy an upright cooler in cash, and I can do certain things with cash money where I wasn't able to before, which is going to make some of these things a little easier. But I don't consider myself a Luddite so much, but it's nice to know that, you know, I mean, one of the things that really cracks me up is just the way that we mash in, you know, it's so, so rudimentary, but here we are, we can produce this beer that, we can wow the people who know beer, and we can get people who don't particularly care for beer to enjoy it. And it's just, I remember this one time when I was working at Deschutes Brewery, and I was at this event down in Vegas. It was some nightclub and bar show. It was really, really crazy.
Yeah.
But, so we had this end cap, and we're standing there and we're sharing our beer and stuff, and dudes from Heineken come over. And I'd never, ever seen so much attitude and how much they looked down their noses at us about, you know, us being this small American brewery and how we didn't know anything. And, you know, I just wish those guys could see me now. I wish I could bring them by my brewery and just be like, yeah, this is how we make beer. And, yeah, that's what I'm charging, and I cannot make enough. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Beer is awesome. Beer is so awesome.
Well, you're obviously making a big difference there.
No, sorry, Jared's my assistant brewer here. He just was finishing mashing and
I'm just saying
beer is awesome.
Yeah.
You touched on you mash in a little bit differently. Let's talk about your brew system a little bit. Your ferment size is one barrel, clearly. And what's your brew house size?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, my fermenter sizes are I have three oak puncheons with the heads removed.
Oh, I see.
That I do three barrel ferments in. And then we have one Doug Fir tank, which we do our four-barrel ferments in.
Those are both open fermenters.
And so, yeah, they're all four of those are open. We have three punch-ins and then one tank. They're all open.
Right.
The tank is just, I guess I refer to that because we purchased it as a wood tank, not as an oak barrel that we modified.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well, that's
and
great.
So we've got these two oak barrels that we've modified to use as mash tuns. So we've outfitted them with false bottoms and valves on the bottom and stuff. And we mash in the night before we brew. So just like I was saying, Jared just mashed in a brew right now. And so you know, we target the upper 150s. And then we've got these funny little wool koozies that we call them. We dress them up in for the night.
Okay.
We had a local
keep the temperature.
I'm sorry?
That's to keep the temperature constant or keep it up?
Well, not necessarily constant, but just trying to keep it up. And, you know, in the morning time, the temperature will be around the low 140s. So we kind of got this reverse infusion thing going on. We're going through the alpha amylase for us before the beta, which actually works out pretty well for us.
And this is all overnight.
In the future, we're gonna, you know, we'll commission a beautiful wood louder tun. But for now, we're using these oak barrels, which our efficiency is you know, we get about 80% efficiency out of them, and it's you know, it's because of leaving it overnight, and then the following day when we run off to we've got a three barrel. Handmade copper kettle from this guy named Jimmy up in Olympia.
Jimmy in Olympia.
He runs Craftsman Copper. And
love it.
Yeah, you can find him. Craftsman Copper. The guy's awesome. He's built stills, and I believe he's building the second kettle now. But we'll run the wort off into the brew kettle, and what we'll do is we do this. It's called party guile. So we run the wort off. We hydrate the mash again. We run that off, and then the third time we'll actually mix up the mash and boil off and the runoff. And this is all because the grain bed's so deep that if we were just to do that, you know, fly or batch sparging type thing, we'd end up losing a lot of extract because of the depth of the grain bed.
Okay.
Just the shape of the grain bed.
You know, we're making that up by, you know, adding time under a brew day and, you know, mashing it overnight. I mean, additionally, the overnight mash gives us
some oxidation and some microbial action at some level. There's some intangible thing going on there that we've tried to not duplicate. We've done shorter mashes, you know, traditional or contemporary traditional mashing, you know, like an hour or two, and we just do not get it. Kind of go back initially to what we were talking about. Like, I've tried to govern the growth of this brewery to make sure that we stay kind of focused on what we're supposed to be focused on. So this overnight mash and this long brewing process prevent me from growing the brewery too fast.
Right.
And, you know, there's days that I curse it, but most of the time I'm grateful for it. And so we'll run off to the brew kettle. We'll boil for about 3 hours most of the time. I think we're doing a really long boil tomorrow. We're doing a really long boil tomorrow. Yep. So tomorrow we're doing an extremely long boil.
I get the overnight mash. It's kind of a sour mash technique, right? And you talked about what you get from that.
No, it's not a sour mash at all.
It's not a sour mash.
Not a sour mash at all.
Why not? What's the difference?
No, the temperature's too high.
Oh, okay.
And we don't really get much lacto going on in there. And I read about the Finnish guys when I was I cut down this tree and made this Finnish kerna. Out of it, you know. I know. Yeah, I apologize, you guys.
No, that's all right. My fault. But, yeah, so just for my listeners, too, explain the difference then. It would have to be colder to be a true sour mash type of thing?
That's my understanding of it, anyway. 99. You know, like, because we're not getting any acidity out of it.
We're not
getting any pH drop necessarily out of the overnight mash.
Okay.
We're getting a deeper color saturation. We're getting slightly more efficient mash. You know, the beauty as a brewer, you know, you walk in the morning and you just start running off the brew kettle.
Right.
It's really awesome, you know. I mean, if you're not trying to just churn brews out, you know, and that's one thing I was trying to avoid, getting myself into a situation where we were having to like, no, we gotta back these things up and we gotta get more beer in. And
okay.
So it does a couple things. It's a way to govern the growth of the brewery, but it does create some flavor characteristics that we couldn't create otherwise.
Okay, so I get that now. Then what about the really long boil? What are you getting out of that, like a 3 or more hour boil?
Well, I'll come out with the one that I'm not sure of first, because I remember reading somewhere in one of my Lambic books about long boils and the benefit to the microbes that are in a mixed culture. And that's about all I can say on that, because I honestly don't remember the specifics. The thing that I know that it does is we're gaining really nice caramelized sugar notes from this copper kettle that we've got. And so it's a way for us to develop color and character using the equipment, as opposed to, say, buying a specific malt that the maltster, you know, he was in control of it or whatever, that anybody can buy. You know, this is our own kettle, this is our own process, and it's a way for us to add house character to our beer with our brew kettle, and, you know, this copper thing. On the top of that, you know, like for my production days, I still to this day. In fact, tonight when you guys were unable to get through with me on the phone at 6:30, I start to freak out because my timeline's off, and this all comes back to working 12-hour shifts and knocking out brews and being off a couple minutes, and the brewer shows up and he's like, "What the hell happened, dude?" And you have to explain yourself. And anyway, so I have this thing with time. And so I'm trying to also get away with that. So this long boil, you get, you know, once you get the wort into the brew kettle and start boiling that thing, at that point, you can take care of your brew house, clean up. You know, we're only going to add one hop addition, and we're going to add it about, you know, an hour or so before we knock out. And we're not super concerned about if we get an exact 2-hour boil. You know, maybe it's 2.5 hours. Maybe it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. You know, maybe we got a tour coming up that day. It gives us a window to take care of our shit and make sure that we've got everything together for knockout and all that. That's another element of that.
Okay.
And so we'll add hops, you know, so we're using basically just one hop variety. We're using Cascade hops from Yale Farm. I think I mentioned her earlier. But we'll use either, you know, last year's crop or an aged variety. You know, I think we're on 2011s right now for some of our beers. So some of our beers get the aged hops. Some of our beers get the fresher hops. And as you guys are tasting there, you know, the hops are important, but they're not what it's not something we're trying to display in every beer in full throttle. It's part of the whole thing.
Sure.
And plus, being a small brewery like this, we don't have places to store 16 varieties of hops, and we're using whole leaf. And so then we boil for about an hour, and then we have a sourwort element that we're doing. So we have a barrel that we've got a heating element in, and this is a separate, totally separate process from the brewing. Well, on another day, we'll mash in, and we'll do that overnight as well. But we'll run the wort off directly into this heated barrel, and it's very similar to the kettle sours that people are doing, okay. Except we'll do it in a barrel, and it takes longer, and then we'll age it off as well for a little bit, kind of like you would with a vinegar or something, just to kind of round off the edges and smooth it out a little bit. And then we'll use it in small increments in the brew kettle or safe or packaging to kind of create some more structure for our beer, some more house character. This is how we can avoid using calcium sulfates and other buffers, is we're using the sourwort to adjust our pH.
Oh, I see.
So we're boiling, add hops, add sourwort. And then what we'll do, and when this is, here we go, knock out into our settling barrel, which we will leave the wort in there overnight again. So it takes us, I think it's like 40 hours to go from grinding to pitching, which is an incredibly long time.
It is.
And so that second night.
There's some record there, I think.
We've got these open fermenters, and we have no volume control. And so this is a way, initially, it's a way for us to kind of systemize our volume. So we'll knock out from our brew kettle through a heat exchanger, and this is the only time that the beer sees a pump. You know, that's another important thing. So the yeast isn't in it. Run it through a centrifugal pump through the heat exchanger, so we can drop out both the hot and the cold break in the settling barrel. Works the barrel overnight, tube settles out to the bottom, and the following day we can take one of the beers that's in our fermenter and rack those into aging barrels, clean out the fermenter, and then take that beer that we brewed the day previous, take the wort from the brew from the day previous,
yeah,
and run that off the trube into our fermenter. And the main purpose of that is so we can, you know, we've got this unique yeast strain. This is a way for us to keep it clean and without it getting, you know, super contaminated with the amount of trube that we'd be going into it. So we're taking this really long step to get the hot and the cold protein break to settle out. Then we can transfer nice clean wort in the fermenter, and we do harvest our yeast, and we pitch back to a certain cells per mil, and the ferment kicks off again, and that way we can keep harvesting and keep repitching and all that stuff, and there's no one to actually call when the shit hits the fan.
Right.
Not at all.
Amazing. This process. Yeah. I have to admit that I mean this in a good way, because I'm jealous. Like, I picture this magical land that you live on, and that you're all just wearing like fur pelts and shit, and you don't have any shoes on.
Loincloth.
And you're just so happy. And
yeah,
And someone's like, hey, we got to hurry up. And you're like, don't say those fucking words on this farm. I don't ever want to hear you say hurry up. And it sounds so relaxing over there.
If your brew length is 40 hours.
We're trying to get to that point. We're trying to make it relaxing.
Right.
There are times, there are moments, you know. Just don't show up when we're mashing in, you know, with our shirts off and getting all Eastern European on.
Extreme techno. That's all we hear.
Yeah.
So when you do the sour mash, do you inoculate that wort, or do you... That just spontaneous.
No, and just to be clear, we're not doing a sour mash.
They don't.
We're leaving the wort in the barrel overnight and trying to keep the temperature warm enough to increase our extraction, increase our color.
That's the mash, though. But I
think
I think Tasty meant the barrel that you do the
where you make your sour mixing.
Your sour wort.
Yeah,
that's
what
he meant. Sorry,
that is a separate process. Yeah. So we I inoculated that. originally, one of the most fun projects I had when I worked at Deschutes was, we worked with this brewery in Germany called Distelhauser. They wanted to start brewing, you know, American versions of hopped up beers, and we were trying to learn how to make lagers and Berliner Weisses. And so we shared information, and they sent their lacto culture, which they've been using for, you know, a long time. I want to say 100 years or something, but, you know, that might just be my desire for it to extend back into antiquity, but
it's been a long time, and
you know, sent it over, and I got to prop it up and work with that, and so Deschutes was nice enough to let me take some of that with me when
nice.
I left.
Nice. All right, Paul, do you have time to take a quick break with us, and we'll come back and try the Minotaur and talk a little more?
Sure. How long are the break?
I'll tell you what. It's only about a 5-minute break. I got to do some sponsors. We'll take a 5-minute break. We'll come back.
Okay.
I just want to taste a Minotaur with you, and then we can let you go because we want to hear about that beer too. Will that work for you? So we'll keep you another 10-15 minutes and let you get back to the fam.
No, that's fun. This is great. I appreciate you guys wanting to know all this stuff. You know, there's not everybody does.
No, we want to know all the good stuff. So hang in there. Yeah. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Paul Arney. He's from Ale Apothecary, and we're going to try another beer, Minotaur. Hang on. It's The Session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy. Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
That's it. I've had it. I am never putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge Electric Mash Water Heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to williamsbrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome back to the program, and thanks for sticking with us. We are speaking with Ale Apothecary today. Before we get back to that, a little reminder that the AHA has got member deals galore for you. Go join the American Homebrewers Association by clicking the AHA link right there on our homepage. Members enjoy discounts at well over 1,400 participating breweries, pubs, beer bars, and homebrew supply shops. And there's a handy deal finder and map over on homebrewersassociation.org that'll help you get all those deals. It's a pretty sweet benefit, and you can basically pay for your membership with how much you save on beer. Plus, if you click the AHA link on the Brewing Network homepage, we get a little piece of the action. So it's a great way to support yourself in the homebrew world and the Brewing Network at the same time.
Yeah, get you a radio show that does both, girl.
That's right. Yeah. Us. Yeah. All right, and then back to our guest. We're speaking with Paul Arney. He's the founder and brewmaster. I don't know if you use that title, actually, Paul, at Ale Apothecary. Carrie, what do you call yourself over there?
I'm a brewer, you know, but yeah, you can call me brewmaster. I kind of titles are not, yeah.
What does your wife call you? God damn it, Paul!
Can I say that?
Yeah, this is internet radio. God, you can say
funny.
Whatever.
That is good.
All right, so at the break there, we opened up the Minotaur. And yes. That's in our glass now. I haven't tried it myself yet.
It's delicious.
Tell us about this beer and what kind of beer is it? What's in it? Give us the spiel.
I've got a little echo in here. I'm sorry. It's a dark sour. And I was real hesitant with that style initially, and the first and only one that we've put out there was a still beer. And I apologize.
Are you still getting it? So we're not getting it here, but you know what I could do? I could hang up and call you back real quick if you're getting a bad echo. I don't want you to.
Yeah, that means the same. Yeah, let's try it.
All right, I'll hang up real quick. Call you back. All right, let's do that. I don't want to. It's hard to talk when you're talking back at yourself.
Yeah,
you ever
sure.
Notice that?
Yeah.
Drive you nuts.
It's like when I talk to Taryn, all I hear is my echo talking
it's
back.
It's yourself
so
coming
I can't
back.
Do it.
It's like the worst thing.
This beer's delicious.
No, it's a wonderful beer.
Very rich.
Sometimes
very
it's
rich.
Hard to just not use the shorthand of the beer's delicious.
How's that? Sound better?
That's great.
Okay.
Way better. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries.
Struggle through that.
No. I'd rather you feel comfortable and it'll sound good for everybody. So start again. Tell us about the beer. We were just saying, by the way, we love it. So we can't wait to hear you tell
us
about it. Yeah.
I had been very hesitant about including dark or black grains in our beers because, you know, they're acid. We're using acidity to balance the beer as opposed to, say, hop bitterness. And you combine acidity from these microorganisms with the carbonic acid, and then you throw the roast or the black malt in there. It's like it just has this recipe for a very one-dimensional beer, very sharp. And so the only dark beer that we put out prior to this was a still beer. We presented it barrel still, no carbonation, for a whole bunch of reasons. One of the main ones was because I was concerned that the beer would be too sharp. With this one, of course, I learned some things, and I think it has to do with the natural carbonation. We carbonated it less than our other beers, but the bottle ferment is so important to that beer. We took, dark malts with some of these malts we get from Seth, and ran them through our mixed culture, our whole fermentation process and all that, and initially put them in bourbon barrels and aged them for about a year in bourbon barrels, and then transferred the same beer into fresh Cabernet barrels from David Arthur, barrels I got from Nile. And we also put quite a bit of blackberries in there at the same time. And so we've got, the spirit barrel, we've got the dark red wine barrel, and then the blackberries, along with our beer that has, a fair amount of that, the dark malt in it. But what I found that just really blew me away was this, the bottle carbonation, it really actually softened it as opposed to making it harsher. It gave it this creaminess. We also used, some blackberry honey from a local B&B ranch here. And I think that whole combination, I mean, you guys are tasting it, but we had initially just planned to do this as a one-off. And, we did this with Emily. It was a collaboration of sorts. But we're already talking about brewing it again.
Oh, you got to brew it again.
For sure.
You got to
brew it again.
You have to never not brew it. Now, here's what you've done. what I think a lot of brewers like you don't want to do, and that is you've now brewed something that we want forever, and you have to keep making it.
Right. Yeah. Look at Blind Pig, man. Vinny made that as a one-off beer, and now he can't get away from it.
Now he's stuck.
Yeah. Now he's stuck, man.
Now he's stuck. So, the next time we talk, you guys will be like, hey, how's it up at the El Apothecary? I'll be like, actually, guys, we're called Minotaur now, and it's the full name of the brewery, I can tell you.
Exactly, yeah. You'll be like, I bought shoes last month. Yeah. We can afford things now.
My first pair of shoes, it was amazing.
Yeah. So, all right, I just, just to pick on a couple things, because there's so much going on with this beer. I think it's fascinating that you chose to use bourbon barrel and wine barrel.
Yeah.
That's something I don't think we've ever talked about on this show in all the years we've been doing this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I don't think anybody's ever done
El Cuatro, we do another beer that's caramel malt forward as opposed to, say, black malt forward, and we do brandy and Pinot barrels, and it's something that somebody else mentioned that recently, like, oh, I've never heard of this before, and I just, I've got my blinders on, and I'm just doing what I'm doing, and I guess maybe that is something that's different or whatever, but to me it's this way of adding another layer of complexity to the beer, and the important thing is to make sure that nothing's going to be harsh or in your face. It's all got to kind of intermarry and intermingle and stuff, but I've really, really grown attached to this whole idea of using because just to get back to it, it's really united with the way that I move the beer to the brewery. We don't have a whole lot of equipment, we don't have a whole lot of money. And so we're going to have to do things in ways that make sense also for the flow of the beer. It's not, on one hand I could say, oh, I do all this stuff to make the absolute best beer and I do it the right way every single time. And sometimes it's like,
well, shit, you know, like, which, you know, what's the best use of this fresh wine barrel I have, you know, and what's the best use and how are we going to use these barrels that we put beer in time after time again? And it's kind of come down to, you know, the Lepage and the Saheli, they both get dry hopped prior to packaging. So we'll put those in separate barrels after barrel aging. Into dry hop barrels prior to packaging, but the aging barrel that they go into are always barrels that we've already used once previously. You know, so we get these barrels from the winery, whether it's Pinot or Cabernet or whatever. We'll find some special project, whether it's a Minotaur or a Quattro or a fruit beer, and use that fruit element that comes with the barrel for something very specific, and then we'll transition into using those barrels over and over again for our you know, Lepage and Saheli. And that's kind of how we're approaching this, is like, you know, we bring in these spirit barrels, and let's use them, you know, in a way that's going to best showcase what was in them previously, you know.
So just so I'm clear on this process, it doesn't sound like you blend this either. Does it go to one barrel, say the spirit barrel first, and then on to a wine barrel, or does it go in both and then you blend it? I'm not sure how you do it.
Yeah, that particular one, it was the same beer that went in both barrels. So it was aged in the bourbon barrel first, and then we moved that beer into the cab barrel.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Did you experiment with that before, like which one you should do first and how that's going to affect it?
No.
Yeah, no, fuck it. We had to go for it.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, we're making this beer. We got the bourbon barrels. That's what it's going into, you know? It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
In a lot of ways, that's where I try to position myself as well, you know, because I have to be able to take advantage of certain fruits, and I have to be able to utilize these barrels, and you can never exactly predict when you're going to have any of them in your hand, you know? And
right.
So some of these things, it's like, well, you know, like, for example, we have this one beer we're going to be packaging fairly soon that we've got this Bull Run, which is a distillery in Portland, this Bull Run whiskey barrel with 75 pounds of Chenin Blanc grape must in it with our Lepage, because we, you know, this friend of mine over, actually Vinny's sister runs this wine shop over on the coast, and they make wine as well. And she got in touch with me this one time. She'd say, hey, I got these extra grapes. You want them? It's like, great, you know, sure. And then it's like, what am I going to do with them? Well, this is what I have. I got the Lepage ready to go, and I got these whiskey barrels. So that's what we're using today.
Nice. I like that. So it kind of goes with your theory that, you know, your philosophy you were saying earlier, where sometimes, you know, you don't get to dictate everything. The beer is just going to take care of it, or right. What you have available is going to take care of it. That's what you're going to do. I like it.
That's right. Yeah, I do too. I do too, because the results, I mean, for me, I can't tell you how proud I am of these beers, and how, you know, in a lot of ways, I can't actually take credit for them either. You know, like, you know, there's nobody that's more close to it as I am. But in the end, you know, like, I'm just the guy that's kind of starting to push the rock down the hill. The rock starts rolling, and then, you know, like, it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Beer's delicious.
It is delicious.
Delicious.
Now, this beer does have
right on
the wonderful acidity to it, but tastes a little less wild to me than the first beer. Like wild,
yes,
as in, you know, wild
the
bacteria
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, other things like that. This one tastes a little cleaner, although although acidity, you know, leaning toward a Flanders Red type of acidity, something like that.
Now, the acidity is very high.
But without all the wildness of the other one. Is it a different yeast culture in this beer, or the same from the barrel that you do?
It's the same, you know, and I'm, you know, if you look at the Minotaur there, I'd actually have to go back and check out the brew day, but one of the things that I'm trying to find some time to figure out a way to, you know, look into is, you know, does our beer change, or what I should say is, does our yeast culture change behavior throughout the year? Like, is there a seasonal element to our yeast culture? And I can't answer that. I don't know.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was, but there's also, you know, I mean, there's just so many variables. At a loss.
No, I'm sure.
well, it's, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's that you put in the bourbon barrel, you put it in the wine barrel, that's going to slam a lot of kind of lighter flavors down anyway. I mean, these are very dark, heavy not heavy as in on your palate, but,
no, but
kind of complex, actually not even kind of, complex flavors. Yeah, they're big flavors.
Yeah.
So I think that can hide some of the subtleties too.
That the barrels did, you're saying.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And just the, are you saying that this beer is a couple years old too, right?
Yeah, so that beer actually spent probably 8 months to 12 months more in barrels than the Latagen drank.
Wow, okay. Mm.
So that might have something going on with it too.
It's killer.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I hate using those words like,
red.
Oh, this is great or it's excellent or whatever, and then that's kind of it. But some beers, it's going to sound cheesy, but like defy description.
An easy description
like
that.
Yeah, so you can't really get any more complicated than that. Sometimes you kind of just have to sit and enjoy it. And sometimes a beer can just be great.
Yeah.
And you don't have to explain why.
Yeah.
But even if you pushed me, Paul, I couldn't give you the descriptors of what I'm tasting because it's so complex. I would need more time to just sit and digest it. But for now, it's a fantastic beer. There's a lot going on, and it kind of satisfies all those urges that us beer drinkers, you know, have, from the dark flavors to the light flavors to the acidity.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. It's all wrapped in one beer, and it's very good beer.
It is. What are the dark malts?
Oh, right on. That made my day right there. Thank you so cool. much. That's exactly what I'm going for, you know, because when we get people in on a brewery tour and I can get somebody who knows beer like you guys and gets that kind of enjoyment out of that beer, and then someone who comes in and says, you know what, I'm not having any because I'm not a beer person, and then, you know, the friend of theirs is like sniffing, is like, at least smell it, you know, at least smell it, and then they taste it, and then they like it too. It's like, I couldn't
love that.
Be prouder. I mean, thank you so much for that. That's the best thing I could ask for.
Oh, that's cool.
You should be proud of this one. I'm sorry if I missed this, but what are the dark malts that you used in this beer to get some of the color too?
That was Breese Black Barley.
Okay. So is this just a Pilsner, your local Pilsner malt like the others, and then and then the Breese Black Barley just to get the color and some other flavor?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I try to, you know, the whole less is more thing. I rarely have a malt bill that has more than two or three malts in it.
And I didn't hear that you used wheat of any kind in either of these beers that we have. Is that right?
No. Yeah. The Latage and the Saheli both have wheat.
They do. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Probably about 22 to 25%, I think.
Okay. So you are, which is kind of a traditional way to do beers of these styles. Sure. That's what I was asking too. So
you mentioned you do a mixed culture fermentation. What's the Saccharomyces? How do you get the alcohol into the beer?
Well, so when I started brewing in February of 2012, it took me a good 8 months to build the brewery and get through the legal processes and stuff. And during that time, I was home brewing like crazy. And I had a whole bunch of different yeast strains going. And then when we brought the, I started bringing the wine barrels, you know, they were I was bringing these in from wineries like Domaine Druin, which is they do indigenous fermentations. And the whole point was to create a way for me to, it's like I call them seed yeasts, you know, because the whole point was I was going to intentionally mutate them and encourage, you know, the local microflora to jump in and take part.
Have an influence.
And so I had all sorts of different, I mean, I had, you know, California Common, and I had Champagne yeast, and I had, you know, different Belgian strains and wine strains, and I just put them all together. There's probably 12 or 15 different yeast strains in there, and then began this open ferment process with a very low primary pH for my ferment. So I had that sourwort that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
I use it in pretty high amounts, and so our primary pH is around 4.5 to 4.6.
Well,
and that really started pushing the, I mean, let me tell you, the yeast did not like it for about 4 to 6 months. It took a long time for this stuff to kick off.
Every strain.
And I don't know if you guys have talked with Chad Jacobson down there at Crooked Stave, but he was a big ally during this time, because I was like, what am I doing? This isn't working, you know, and what do you think? And he's like, well, you know, use some mutate, and stick with it. And so, you know, just kept sticking with it. And was doing this goofy process because the fermentation would always get stuck because the yeast wasn't happy, and due to the pH, and do this thing where you split it off and start smaller ferments based off the bigger one and try and get them going and then include more and then more and more. And it was very, very stressful. But the end result was that about four to five months in, we started seeing the ferment behave in a way that made me happy, you know, like the yeast started acting happy, you know, and it got to this point where we could, you know, start seeing predictable, attenuation, and it took a long time. I know for a fact that the Pediococcus that is in our beer came in through the window, and then some of the Brett came in through the window as well. But the sac strains that are in there, they're mutated strains of one of these, you know, well, or all of them, other yeast strains that I started using way back. And at some point, you know, when I feel like, you know, that quote unquote we've made it, I'll go and have these things analyzed, and then
right.
stand back and go, oh my gosh, it's, you know, it's all one yeast strain, or, you know, it came from the swamps outside Canteon, or you know, like whatever.
That's that champagne yeast you were using. But,
and that will either be the most disappointing or most exciting day in your career, right? Because it'll come back.
Exactly, why I'm right. not doing it for a while.
Yeah, dude. I would avoid that as long as possible. Just go by your taste buds until then, you know.
That's the bottom line. So do you bank this yeast, or how do you keep it going? Why is it still around?
Well, it's just we keep it active, you know. So we're brewing 1 to 2 times every week. And we'll harvest day 2 and day 3 of the primary fermentation, and we'll make sure to pitch that yeast back the following week. And so I've talked to friends of mine in the micro world, and you know, with the same question, and they say, "Well, how are you taking care of it?" And then I tell them about my process and the pHs and stuff, and a couple of them have just been like, "You know, I mean, it's not lab quality or lab intensity, but I'm kind of mimicking something that they do anyway." And so as long, you know, and I do expect the thing to mutate, and we've been experiencing mutation since day one, obviously, but up until this point, we have seen everything positive. We haven't seen no negative, you know, not like it's the beer is becoming better and better and better.
Right.
And as long as that's the case, I'm not going to change anything. And once maybe we start seeing, you know, hopefully that'll never happen. Hopefully it'll just, you know, this is how, you know, this is kind of back to that, the core principle thing, you know, like I really want to emulate and be true to this brewery project. And, you know, this yeast is alive and this is where it lives. And I'm just trying to, you know, make it comfortable here, and this is, you know, give it its boundaries, and this is what I can provide, and so mm-hmm. hopefully it kind of stays in that realm, and that's just what lives here.
Yeah, if it wants to change, it'll just change. That's what you want it to do.
Yeah.
So are you tempted just like to bank it, like hitting save in a video game, just in case you want to go back to like?
Well, I mean, I am tempted, but the thing is, I've got you know, and it's probably not equivalent, but I just lean on the fact that I have a lot of bottles in my library.
Oh,
I always
yeah,
have
sure.
bottles on hand.
Yeah.
We can always culture up the dregs if it got to, you know, I kind of yeah. have my own library, and I'm sure that there's people out there that say, well, that's not the same. Low pH, high alcohol, it's not going to be very healthy to the yeast, but that's what I'm leaning on because, you know, for right now, this is my focus, and I'm trying to keep certain elements out of it just to keep it true.
Excellent.
All right. Well, the beer is wonderful, and I want to thank you so much for sharing it with us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Folks, you can go to thealeapothecary.com and learn more.
Yes.
There's a lot of information there about their methods and the different beers that they make, and you can learn all about them. A lot of photos, which is very cool. And, you know, you get actually just a really good feel for you guys on the website, too. I really like it. So,
not a lot of spots do that. You know, if you go to a lot of brewery websites, there's not a lot of photos, there's not a lot of information.
It doesn't even like always even feel the same as like the
yes.
interviews that we do. Like sometimes
right.
we'll interview mm-hmm. and you go, oh, we can really feel what Paul's about, and
yeah.
then you look at the website and you go, that's different.
Right.
This all fits. You're doing a good job over there.
Yeah, man.
Hey, right on. Thanks, Sells. No, this is awesome. I really appreciate the interest. And yeah, let's just stay in touch and do it again sometime.
Would love to. If we're ever traveling through, we'll come to your house, I guess.
Yeah. I'm planning on coming up.
Get in touch first. That's all.
Good call.
Paul!
Hey! Paul, no, it's me. Stan and JP, yeah. We're here.
I'm planning a road trip to Oregon in early next year. I'm gonna stop by.
It's great.
I'm gonna stop by.
It's great beer.
Get in touch. I love it.
And then is there a tasting room that folks can go to also down the hill?
It's in development right now. We're thinking probably a month to 2 months out, and
we
have an official tasting room. All that stuff will be on the website.
Oh, that's exciting.
All right. So once again, folks, go to thealeapothecary.com and you can check it out. And Paul, thanks so much for sending us beer. We appreciate that for taking all this time with us. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate the interest. We'll be in touch.
All right, brother. Take care and good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Now, there you go. That's Paul from Ale Apothecary and doing a good job
A great job.
You know, in the wild.
Yeah. Well, when we were first talking before the show started, I was like, yeah, he sent us two bottles, and I'm thinking in my mind, I don't think we're going to have enough to taste.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
because usually we go like four or five beers, right?
That 750 is like 2 liters of flavor.
Yeah, they're 750.
You could share that with 30 people and everybody would have plenty.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But even from a discussion perspective,
There's more in these two bottles than we would normally get out of drinking. Yeah. Here's my IPA and my Saison and my Pale Ale and my Porter.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of just drink through those and go, oh, they're pretty standard. But these are, they're complex. They're complex beers, but not in a... in a, some sort of heady way or like a hipstery way. They're very, I don't know, rustic, but in a positive way. It's a trip.
They're rich.
Find a beer, drink it. It's a trip.
I agree with all that. And if you go to the website, all the things he was saying, you know, it's easy to make fun of him for doing everything in a slow way, but they really are. Like, some of the simple things he says on the website are vintage batch, barrel by barrel, cottage instead of factory, flavor before efficiency, which we heard him talk about.
Yeah.
They're clearly not an efficient brewery.
right.
And then his final thing, which I like that he mentioned why he left the shoots, love prior to spreadsheets. It comes through in the beer in the same way. So
it definitely does. Yeah.
I like the farm.
Burn the bottle.
Yeah. Well, I like living at your the idea that the brewery is where you live as well.
It's a farmhouse.
You can't really do that in a lot of places. It's illegal, like zoning. I know that the place that Chad was working for was trying to do that for a while, and they went through a whole thing.
Okay.
But I love the idea. I mean, does seem like kind of the core of the small brewery is that why not have a little brewery if you have a piece of land that you could sell beer out of? So I like that he's actually doing that. He lives on the brewery. It's pretty cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it very much for being on the show. And before we take our next break, don't forget about Beersmith homebrewing software that
Never
can help you brew good beer.
Never forget.
I don't think Paul uses software. I feel like he uses stone tablets to write his recipes on.
I think he literally goes by the rule of thumb. Where he'll put his thumb in the mash and be like, that's great. That's perfect.
Yeah, and he has his assistant. He's like, all right, 20% Pilsner malt. And he's over there, kink, kink, hitting it into the stone so they can remember it.
I feel like Paul, he bans the name Louis Pasteur in his brewery. Like, don't you dare say his name.
I just feel like
he who shall not be
you do
named.
Not say Louis Pasteur, and you don't say hurry up.
Yeah,
you go fuck yourself.
Never.
Yeah, those are two things he never wants to hear.
No.
Hurry up and Louis Pasteur, the four most evil words in the world.
Poor Louis.
I won't even go to France. Paul's like, I won't even set foot. In that country because of that Louis. But Beersmith homebrewing software can help you brew your beer at home. It's available on Mac and PC. You can get your free 21-day trial by going to beersmith.com. Download it so you don't have to take my word for it, because if you don't like it, after 21 days, no harm, no foul. And I happen to know for a fact that Brad's working on a new version of it now.
Oh, really?
He is constantly updating the software, so he puts in things that you ask for, modifies things really all the time. This is his gig, so it's the most supported homebrewing recipe software out there, and it does things that you don't even know that you need it to do. It's everything you're looking for. Go to beersmith.com right now and check it out. All right. How about we take a quick break? When
Let's
we come back, guess what we're doing?
What are we doing?
We're giving away two tickets to the Craft Beer Summit, the California Craft Beer Summit up in Sacramento.
Yes, we are. And they're full passes. They're not just for the
Beer
Fest. They're for the entire three. It's a three-day package.
Yeah.
It's a three-day thing.
I had a three-day package once.
You did?
I had to call the doctor.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
They say call after 4 hours.
I know.
What were you doing? Banging?
I was just hanging out.
Literally.
One would be good. 10 would be really great.
Yeah, three.
Who has the energy?
Not me anymore.
Not me.
I was younger. all right.
Okay, good.
So when we come back, a couple tickets to full conference tickets to the California Craft Beer Summit and more. So hang in there. It's the session. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers 4 levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness. It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. At the end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah.
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're freaking awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops and now comes in 4 pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the BrewingNetwork.com.
Hey there, BM.
Canadian Army, have you heard the latest at HopTech? Since HopTech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at HopTech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamel Zanishev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we want to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering, but it takes a backseat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam you in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
Welcome back to the program. We were talking about death at the break.
Strangely enough, I didn't bring it up.
I know.
Strangely.
New for me.
Thanks again to Ale Apothecary for being on the program. Please go to thealeapothecary.com and check them out and support them. A great small brewery project, and there's no question of why you should. The beer's just real good. So that's all you need to know.
That's right.
My friends.
That's right.
All right. So we've got a couple tickets to give away to the California Craft Beer Summit in Sacramento, California.
Yes.
Do you know the dates?
Happening soon. I believe it is.
It's this. It's September.
It's in September. It's coming up soon. It's September 8th.
8th through 11th or something, yeah.
Okay. There
8,
you
9,
go.
And 10.
8, 9, 10. 9, 10. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take right now caller number 5 wins 2 tickets. You need to be able to go.
All 3 days, please.
All 3 days. It's yes. It's 2 tickets, right?
It's 2 tickets, yeah.
Caller number 5 right now. 888-401-BEER. 888-401-BEER.
Let me tell you.
You're going to buy me beer on Friday night, too.
Oh, Tacy's going to be there. And JP, are you still going to go and do the try to find a bad, like you have to come back and only report on good beer?
I will go if you want me to.
I want you to.
All right.
It's
at the Sacramento.
Do I have to drive him?
Yes, probably.
It's at the Sacramento Convention Center. There's an unlimited tasting. The Summit Beer Fest is on the 10th, the last day on Saturday, 3 to 7 p.m. on the Capitol Mall. Unlimited tastings of 400-plus beers from 150-plus California craft
You can't
craft
talk
beers.
To them. Just say, just hang up. Oh, she is. She's doing it. She's doing it. I was worried that it's like the same guy's just going to call 5 times.
You know,
we haven't gotten a lot of calls recently, so I did. I don't know. But
there's kind of a lot of people in the chat room.
The phone's just lit up,
right,
though. So.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, largest homebrew festival in California.
It is.
I mean, not beer festival in California.
And
400
right.
beers.
400 beers from over 150 California craft breweries.
And they're not all brought from the breweries, probably. You know?
So yeah. And so here's what happens. On Friday, September 9th, we were talking to Tom last week from the Craft Beer Summit.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different tracks that you can do. So if you want to, if you're in the craft beer world, you can go take the business track. Mm-hmm. It's basically like NHC, but really hyper-focused on craft breweries instead of home brewing. So you can learn all that kind of stuff, hospitality and retail, build a brand, how to build your brand, which, let's face it, a lot of craft breweries need to focus on building. No, you can't. You could teach that class like I could teach that class. And then there's even technical stuff, too. So there's a lot of different kind of stuff. And apparently there's a distributor meet and greet.
Oh.
So distributors are looking, and it's kind of a way to put you in front
They'll buy me a beer.
Right. Yeah. They're tasting. They will buy me a beer. But it's,
they got all the money, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all sorts of cool educational stuff that you guys can really learn a lot from. And if you go Friday, September 9th at 12 o'clock,
yeah,
you can hear the story behind the 21st Amendment Brewery.
Oh, Sully's going to do
Sully's going to have a presentation.
He's going to be on the pulpit.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a really cool, very unique thing that I'm really excited to be able to attend.
That is exciting. I did go last year for the first one. I got to hear Tony McGee speak about, in fact, they had just had their buyout with Heineken, their merger, whatever he called it. I don't know what people
call
it.
It's a buyout.
And he had, but it was fascinating to listen to him talk about that.
Yeah.
And then Greg Cook from Stone was also there talking about their story and opening up in Berlin and a few other things. So it's just a cool event. So go check it out.
And Bebo, by the way, there's a homebrew
calls right now.
Yes, it's a homebrew track,
a class
too. Yeah.
Track, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's why our listeners would be interested in that.
Yeah. I like it. It's a good event. And then I had the best time at the beer fest at the end. It just was so relaxed and so much good beer.
Sounds great.
So I don't know if you recall, JP, but my whole thing was for you to go, and with that many beers, you have to come back with an only positive beer review.
And I had to find one beer that I liked. One IPA that I liked, I think, is what it was, under an hour. I think we said a time limit.
I think I wanted, like, five beers or something. We can reduce that because that might get boring. But one of them, whatever we decide, one of them has to be an IPA.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think we were supposed to target IPAs only. That you, because you were like, I think with that many California craft breweries, not only are they going to run out of ink on the IPA letters when they print them out, which apparently now that they're typesetting and they're not just digital printing, but
yes, apparently.
But I think we had to put a time limit on it.
Yeah,
because there were going to be that many where, you know, if I don't find them, if I don't find an IPA that I like under an hour, I should give up beer drinking.
That's what it was. You need to find one IPA you like in under an hour,
I think.
And
I'll listen back.
Give me two. Yeah, figure out what it was.
We actually have, we can find out exactly what
was said.
We have that
technology.
We
do. That's an excellent
run the tape back.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we have a winner.
Oh, shit.
Did Todd call five times in a row?
No, actually, we had a lot of callers.
Oh, I like it. It's like we're we're a real radio show again.
Oh, I like it.
I had to reject people. I felt weird.
Wow. You haven't rejected somebody since before Sam.
Before Sam.
Natalie's brother.
Sam gets rid- You're a jerk.
It's the black guy.
You had to go that low, huh? The black guy.
All right.
Oh, gosh, I don't even have anything to say.
All comes with that big check.
So the Sour Hour got some feedback about Scott's comments toward you and how they were sexist and inappropriate.
Like what?
And there were no examples given. But
Scott asks me to make coffee every single time he comes into the studio.
Oh my god!
Well, my thought was Scott was maybe he's used to being on the session, so here he is on that show. But the thing I like about the other shows that we do, the Sour Hour, Dr. Homer, even like some of the other shows, is that they have a different vibe, right? They're not like this. Like I can say all the dirty things I want to Bebo because I've known her for 15 years.
So does Jamil,
and because she knows I'm an idiot. But that's our style on this show,
that's
right?
That's our audience.
And I thought, like, some of these
other
audience. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I really thought maybe the Sour Hour is like, oh, everybody can listen. It's very educational forward. So I had to forward the I got the email. I had to then forward it along and go, hey, guys, we should talk about this and figure out how we should, you know.
That's so funny because I, other than him treating me like I'm a stewardess, I don't really... I can't really think of anything
that's
he's ever
sexist,
said.
The Bebo, their flight attendants.
I know, that's why I said it. actually, I think he still calls them stewardesses.
Right.
But I can't think of anything that is said or done on that show that is inappropriate.
Well, somebody did, and this person was very, very offended.
Oh, this person, if you listen to this show, first
well,
of all.
Well, I know, and that was my thing. But this show is different. Like, this person writes to me about this show, I respond... A, I've known Bebo for 15 years. She's my very close friend. B, this is our thing. C, if you don't get it, fuck off. Like, I don't care.
Right, right.
Our other shows, my reaction is very different. Like, we plan shows differently. Mm. That's why it's a network, you know.
Should I be sending you these emails? Because I've gotten one email complaining about
about the way Scott speaks to people on the show.
On the Sour Hour?
On the Sour Hour.
Yeah,
he sounds very condescending to his, to the guests. And sometimes it feels like Jay doesn't know how to react and all this. Oh, and so I haven't sent it. I was like, I'm just, it's
no,
not my
you got to send me everything. I okay. do actually care right. and pay attention occasionally.
Right. I kind of want to see this email.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Hey, in other news, Evanescence is now touring. So what do you think?
That's not sexist.
That's a game changer.
Well, she created, the lead singer of Evanescence created a album specifically of children's songs because she's a mother now.
Oh, well, isn't that horrible? Okay, let's go
can't spell horror that horrible.
Let's go to Todd in Riverside, who just won tickets to the Craft Beer Summit. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I see that you're from Riverside down in Southern California. You going to be able to make the trek up and do this thing?
Dude, I was actually searching tickets for Southwest right now.
That a boy. It'll be a cheap flight. Hey, there's this cool private jet thing that's cheaper than Southwest sometimes. Yes. It's called, I'm being serious right now.
Jet Suite.
It's called Jet Suite. And they fly into Concord Airport from Burbank Airport. I did it. You literally are flying on a private jet. Yeah. You don't have to go through the terminal. I did it for $99 the last time I did it. It was the coolest thing ever. And then you can come to the Hop Grenade and then just like drive up to Sacramento. Just throwing it out there, I really want this company to stay in business because it was the coolest thing. Like,
really?
To fly a private jet for $99.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Free drinks on the plane. No security.
Really?
Hot. Flight attendants.
Male and female, I'm sure.
Yes, both of them were hot.
All hot. Well, maybe they fly in the sec.
They do not. They only fly limited places right now. Anyhow, just a word of advice since you're coming from SoCal.
Justin's just talking about the BN jet, really.
It's basically I want it to become the BN jet. Yes.
Doc is going to fly you, so if you can handle that.
Yeah. Well, congrats, Todd. I'm happy to send you to the Craft Beer Summit, man.
Right on, man. Awesome.
I think you'll have a good time. Did you already get the tails? Do I have to put them on? I haven't put somebody on hold in a while. I might hang up. I don't know how to do it.
Oh, wow. I'll do it.
You just give me his email address.
Yeah,
that's all
just
if we lose you, Bevo at the Bring Network.
Todd, by the way, I have a note here that says he's been listening since day one. Obviously, Bevo took him away.
Oh, that's cool. Oh,
speaking of
listeners,
but you have to turn off your microphone.
Yeah, come on, Beverly.
Speaking of not
what
that
are you,
smart.
Sorry.
There is a guy. I'm trying to find him right now, and I thought he'd be in the chat room. It was his first live show. He's been listening to us forever.
Oh.
And for years, and it was his first live show. I guess he left, and now all I see is fucking Shubru.
I see.
Anyway, sorry. It's not much excitement without the actual name.
Not too much excitement.
No.
All right. Before we have to go, I know we've got Twitter game left to do. And,
yes, you do. Yes, sir.
Hey, but you know that you can buy cool stuff at AdamandEve.com?
I do, but I need more details.
Have you not done our own coupon code offer through Adam and Eve?
I've thought about doing it, but I haven't done it yet because I feel like
I've shopped a lot.
I've window shopped a lot.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's kind of presumptuous to assume what the other person would like.
Oh, but you can do it together.
But I feel like that's like for our 10-year and more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's when it's a little older. No, I'm not there yet, man. I mean, we've been together almost 7 years now, but married for one.
You should be there. I mean,
we're not there yet.
You should be like, hey, I know what you're into.
Check
this double-sided thing out.
Well, you know, look, you know, the girl is, she's a little shy.
Okay.
And so, you know, it takes her a while to get in. I don't know. but you know what I mean? It's like picking out a leather jacket for someone. You're like, is it the right style? I don't know.
I think you're the shy one. I think your wife
would
like to...
I'll fuck anyone in the ass right now. I don't care. Let's do it.
I think she would like to sit down and be like, yeah, dude, all the dildos. I don't even care. But you're like, honey, I don't know. We're still new to this.
Maybe there's an emasculation happening where I don't want to be replaced. You know, it's like that Westworld show that's going to be redone on the HBO where it's just all robots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I made like that mistake once. I was with someone who was, things were going fine. Like, orgasms were happening. Like, everything was cool. And she had never had, like, a... a dildo before. She never had a thing. And I was like, oh, you gotta have a vibrator. Like, come on. So I got her one, and sure enough,
Daniela left.
She wasn't.
She went back to Germany.
Took her vibrator with her.
Yeah. Listen, there's not a German on earth that didn't like grow up with.
Well,
vibrators,
that's true.
So,
yeah,
but it's like not. She wasn't like climaxing as much anymore. And
stuff. See, that's my fear. That's my fear. I'm not that.
I think it's a real fear. Is
not
what
that
I'm
there's
saying.
Not one in the house.
However,
anyway,
you should still go. There's other things as well, Adam. I hate it when we do that. AdamandEve.com, when you select 50% off. Wait, get one item at 50% off, then you get three free adult DVDs, free exclusive gift, and this new gift, free shipping, and the clit bumper thing.
Yeah, that thing. That thing, baby. Didn't someone email in and say that, I forget, during feedback that they appreciate the turn on to the clip bumper? They really liked it?
Oh, maybe?
I think it was in this feedback.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, you're welcome.
It's kind of cool.
It's the ideal pressure ring for couples. Unique bumper stimulates a lot of things. Anyway, just go. AdamEve.com. Use coupon code BNARMY, BNARMY at checkout. That's BNARMY at AdamEve.com. And, you know, it's a good way to. They've been supporting us for a while, so go check them out.
Plus, they really have. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
You guys are horny out there.
Our listeners are out there doing the right thing.
Putting in that BN Army thing all the time.
And it's better than going to the creepy store down the road.
Yeah. Like, and that's better pricing, too. It's expensive at those stores.
It is.
This is all good, really, really good pricing.
I have one of those stores really close to me, and it's actually like a nice store. Like, it's not all, like, dirty, right? It's still just creepy going in there, though. Like, I don't want people looking at me, and I don't want to look at them. So I'm just saying, no matter how nice your adult store is, it's better to sit on your couch and do it. So AdamandEve.com.
Or at your
desk.
Wherever your terminal
is. I do it here with like the big window into the bar open. I'm just looking at dogs.
Whenever the staff just sees you pulling the shade, like wide-eyed and like bloodshot eyes, like, uh-oh, Justin will be gone for about 5 minutes, and nobody go and change a keg.
I flip the on-air light on so people know not to come in to the studio.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Tasty just jerks off on the window. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, I don't care.
Bevo asks him to clean it all up.
Private office in this, yes.
Bevo in her stewardess outfit has to come around.
A squeegee.
Hey, Bevo, we could use some coffee.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And I made a pot of coffee, and he was like, it's kind of weak.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
All right.
Well, you know what to do next time?
Yeah.
Dump it on him?
Load her up really strong, like stupid strong.
There you go. All right. What was our Twitter game tonight, JP?
Our Twitter game was the announcement that Doc is about to have a third child.
Yeah.
And we are trying to name him.
Name
not him,
Doc's
not
baby.
Not Doc, but yes. Name Doc's
him or her.
New child.
Do we know?
We don't know yet. We don't yet. I think they're going to go the old school route and not actually know the sex.
Yeah. All we're a girl. You just call it Mini Doc.
I don't know anything about sex either, so we're in the same boat.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, Mike Shoemaker says Doc's baby name is Janet Hummer Lothamer. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I actually meant to delete that one, but whatever. He's a local guy. Who cares? 24 Mountain Creeks. 24. Anyway, he says they should name it. He should name it Warren after the father. Congrats on being the first. Congrats on being the first male to give birth.
I like it.
Yeah. You write that down. Yeah. Ian Hay says, Mike Tasty McDole Lothamer, in honor of a fallen friend, hashtag RIP Tasty.
Is that a new hashtag?
I don't know, but
let
that's
me pinch myself here. Oh, I'm still here. Okay.
Yeah, you're still around.
I'm like I was gone.
You're looking just the same as you did 10 years ago.
That's right. True. That's true. 10 years changes. Or 10 minutes. It doesn't matter.
You're distilled.
I'm pickled.
Rude Boy Brewing says, Augustina Baruna.
Oh,
the old classic. Yeah, you got to have that in there.
We'll put that in there.
Apparently, Taryn Petros.
Oh, I've
wrote
heard
in.
Of her.
Yeah, so have I.
Talking to,
she says you should call it Rosanna. Duh.
Oh, after the
Toto song.
Band.
Yeah.
I like that. She's smart.
She's smart, that's for sure.
She's an insider.
Jeff Gralnick, she is that too. Jeff Gralnick says Allison Money Lothamer, a.k.a. Alimony. Hope for the best, prepare for the inevitable.
I like that.
There were a couple alimony jokes in there. Lloyd McClover says he's going to be having a kid. It's a 17-year-old Bing Zhang homebrewer adopted from China because he's never doing it the old-fashioned way again. So he's going to... It's
I'm
a little
confused.
Convoluted. He's going to be adopting a child, and his child is a 17-year-old called Bing Zhang.
Okay.
Oh, okay. John A. says, call him Lohug Lothamer, and Tasty would be the godfather. So there's layers to that. There's levels to it. Like
Lohug.
Two dimensions.
Lohug Lothamer.
What if he did adopt an Asian kid and named him Lohug?
Bing Zhang Lohug.
All right, carry on.
Greg Hacks.
That was racist.
Greg,
maybe not.
Feedback.
China, people from China aren't a race. They're a nationality.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you. Trust me, I have all the ins and outs of being a subtle racist. Greg Hack says, does it really matter all of Doc's words slur together when he's drunk?
Yeah, that's true.
And then last but not least, Paul Shank says, in Chechnya, we call him Little Doc.
Oh,
who else will take care of our only tooth in our mouth when his daddy is gone? Little dog.
Little dog. We have tooth.
Yeah.
All,
there you
one
go.
One tooth in all of country.
We share. When everyone get bread ration, we share tooth.
You know what sandwich is in Chechnya? It's imagination.
It don't really exist.
It don't exist. You have two pieces of bread. You imagine what's inside.
Yes. They call it imagine which. Imagine which meat is in between two breads.
Keep you fed for 3 days, imagination. Try it.
try it now. How did Chechnya do in the Olympics? How did our home country
do? That's a good question. Look it up. I just bought a Chechnyan flag.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I had to. I saw it on Amazon, and it just felt right. You ever feel like the computers are listening to you? How did it know to present me with a Chechnyan flag?
How did it?
Probably because we searched something about... I asked you about the Chechnyan accent, and did you look it up? And then it was
But this happens often where I talk about shit that I know I didn't Google. And all of a sudden, it's on my Facebook advertising or...
That's creepy, yeah.
Something's going on here with the voice recognition that people aren't talking about. Nobody's talking about it, but it's happening.
Yeah, all that data we're putting out, it's being analyzed.
I mean, what's the difference? Like, if you look at your Google map, like, on your phone, if you look at its history, show you everywhere you've been for the last 5 years.
You know it.
Because you didn't turn it off. Yeah. You didn't know to turn it off. You didn't know it was on. I feel like it's the same with the little microphone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting paranoid. But the advertisements are getting weird, you know.
I can't find anything. And to me, it seems like... Oh, well, Chechnya is part of Russia.
Oh, so they're under
it's
Russia.
It's a republic of Russia.
Chechnya, also spelled Chechnya or Chechnya.
I know, it's spelled like eight ways. Yeah.
Fucking pick a spelling.
Yeah. Olympic, we're lucky to run away from bomb. All right.
That's why we're fast. The slow Olympians aren't existing. They're in dustpan.
All right. Well, I got one of them was like, call it basically Beardy after the father.
Yeah.
Warren.
Call it Warren.
Call it Tasty.
Hashtag RIP Tasty.
Yeah. In honor of a fallen friend.
Augustina Baruna. That's a fun
that's
one.
That's an old one. That's an old one. Yeah.
Rosanna.
God, I wish Doc was here.
Which, I really like this one. It's Doc's child.
Pretty
imagine
good.
Imagine if the mother insisted on calling it Rosanna.
Like her great aunt Rosanna was like such an inspiration to her.
He hates Toto so much. If he had to call his own child Rosanna all the time.
Seriously, anytime you guys out there see Doc at NHC or anywhere, start singing this or
any Toto
Africa,
song.
Any Toto song. He will go fucking ape shit and then laugh really hard and go, fuck you.
Rosanna.
I
think this is the winner. Just to annoy
really?
Doc, right?
Taryn won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have to give her anything, right?
She doesn't
need another shirt.
No, she doesn't.
It went back.
Yeah.
I get a chance to give me something. Give me my shirt back.
Oh, then we don't have any more dust rags.
Oh, God, I wish Doc was here.
I know.
Meet me all the way. Roseanne and the Mayor. Meet you all the way.
Tour still? Oh, fuck.
Are they? I want to go see them.
I want to go see them, too. I want to... You know what we should do? Like, go in on... oh, Jesus. Look at these fucking freaks.
That's Toto now?
Yes, yeah, Toto. Look at the guy on the left.
Show the camera. Hat.
Go to Toto.com.
I feel like I just met that guy on the street.
Right.
He looks weird.
You see him, Tasty?
Wow.
I think we should go in on, like, get Doc VIP ticket.
Yeah.
And be like, Doc, we're going to a concert, baby.
Where we're going. No, the whole
like,
thing.
Like Lynyrd Skynyrd. Make up another band or whatever. And then just fucking get him so hammered that he doesn't understand. And then when they start playing fucking whatever song they play, he will freak out.
I love this idea.
Thank you.
Do you think we can really get him into the place?
If we blindfolded him, we could. Because then the opening act would happen.
We have to blindfold him and earmuff him.
Drug him. Knock him out.
We have to, what's Mr. T's name?
I used to.
Why can't I remember his name? Anyway, we have to B.A. Baracus him.
B.A. Baracus, yeah. I ain't drinking no milk, Hannibal. they're on tour. September 4th, they'll be in Denver.
Well, Doc probably knows.
September 8th, Saratoga, California. September 9th, Indio. Paso, they're going to be in Paso September 11th.
I'm gone all of September. Damn it.
Oh, man. VIP tickets. How much are VIP tickets to Toto in Paso?
Oh, that'd be great. We take Matt Brennelson with us.
Totally will.
He'd go. He'd hate it as much as Doc.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, and, you know, I read interesting thing. These were session musicians, the folks in Toto.
Yeah.
They were session. And then they got together and they were like, dude, we can write all of the. We can write this fucking music. We've been playing it forever.
Yeah. It makes sense because it's very formulaic, like session musicians. But they, I mean, they kind of nailed it with this one, let's be honest.
I you know what? Hate this song.
What?
I think this song is the worst.
I thought Doc was the only person on earth who hates this song.
I hate this song.
How do you hate this song?
I don't know why. I just think it's the most trite bullshit in the entire world.
Well,
yeah,
but it's still great.
VIP package includes one reserved seat within the first eight rows, access to a meet and greet with the members of Toto.
Oh, my gosh.
I love
Can you
meet.
Imagine if he got a photo with the fucking Toto?
Oh, yes.
Photo of Toto.
How much is that VIP package?
Individual photo with Toto on one exclusive Toto mason jar.
It's probably
jar,
only like $50.
One signed drum head. One
a mason jar.
I know.
For all of your senior pickling. Like, what the fuck
are all your pickling needs?
Why are they giving out mason jars?
I don't know, man. Let me see. And
part of the
shit. Yeah, you gotta click like eight fucking things to get these prices.
Oh, my but, God. Here's a mason jar and vacuum sealer.
While you're figuring that out, I have a question. Did we give away one ticket or two tickets to Todd? Oh. He's on the phone. He's asking.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
he's got to bring a bro or
has
a hoe.
Has to bring it. I'm not going to say
and
that.
And money
okay.
for the Friday night drink. Yeah.
A
and
bro or a hoe.
I don't know. Whatever. A chick or a dude. I'm equally degrading.
I don't know, man. It's I'm clicking on Africa. Buy VIP tickets, but it's not letting me. So either they're sold out.
Nah, never.
Of course they were.
Or the best available is $65, dude. $65, row in, whatever that means.
Paso, huh?
Not
seat 7 and 8, dude.
All right. Wow, they have a lot of albums.
Do they really?
Yeah, they kind of do.
For only having two songs that anybody knows about.
Oh, 35th anniversary live in Poland, April 2014.
You know where that's pretty close to? Chechnya.
All right. Well, I think it's time to get out of here. Congratulations to our Twitter game winner, Taryn Petros.
Yay!
But why don't we give the prize to Does It Really Matter? He slurs all his words anyway.
Let's do that.
What do you think? Shall we do that?
Yeah, okay. That was...
You didn't win, but you get a prize. Taryn won.
Greg Hack.
All right, Greg. Send Bevo an email, or I don't know, you guys figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what to do.
It's big.
Let's get him the prize, and Taryn, you go home just knowing you're a winner.
Yeah, you stay at home.
Stay at home.
Cook me dinner knowing you're the winner.
Quit listening to the show.
Like be a stewardess when JP gets home. All of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So next week we are off, and we'll be back. Well, not we, but most of us will be back on September 5th with Fieldwork Brewing Company.
I know those guys.
Also, my birthday. Just saying.
I will not be on the program for the next 7 weeks, I discovered today.
Whoa. Wow.
Which I'm very excited about. JP, I know that you and Tasty are going to do a great job.
As long as Bev makes me fucking coffee whenever I demand it.
And make it right.
And make it right, too. None of this fucking bullshit. Right. Like, you too weak or fucking too whatever. Don't listen to him. Make it my specifications, and you should know what those are ahead of time. Don't ever make me tell you.
Wow. I feel like this is borderline domestic violence.
It just got real.
Stop.
So we're off next week, but...
You're off.
Wow.
In November, you coming back?
Guys, it's you guys solo the week after because Beardy and Doc will both still be gone at Burning Man with me.
We can do it.
For field work. But you got field work in the studio.
Oh, those guys will fill the place.
You're going to have an easy
time. I'll be arguing
time.
With those guys. And it'll be great.
Wait, they're going to be still at Burning Man on a Monday?
Yeah. It's Labor Day. Why did we book a show on Labor Day?
I don't know. Talk to Beverly.
You and I had a conversation about this. I didn't want to book it that day, but we had to because on the 30th or whatever, both you and Justin are gone, so there was nobody to host.
Oh,
so
we it's had to you're do, going to Hawaii,
so we
JP.
Had to do a show
when
on my birthday.
You're going to Hawaii. I see it on the calendar.
I'm going Hawaii from the 19th.
That means
to
you have
the 24th
because that's your off week, though.
Yes,
the 19th
because
is
Justin
your off
is right. Also right. Gone.
So now you have to work Labor Day, but you got field work in the studio, so there'll be a lot of fun. They'll bring some beers out, and then I'll see you guys later.
Have a good one.
I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do a little Germany. I'm going to do a little other things. I'm going to go into Stone Berlin. I'm going to Oktoberfest.
How far away is Chechnya from Germany?
Good question. It's only a small ox ride.
I think it's a big ox ride.
We
it's
send
big
one
ox. Small ride.
Big ox.
Once
why is it telling? Why once, is it showing me?
It's a different continent.
Once ox come back from Kuzinlatka Baro, I go to Chechnya.
It's a 38-hour drive.
It's a 38-year ox ride.
Ox ride.
7-year ox ride.
You go through Poland and the Ukraine, and then you get into Russia, which is part of Chechnya.
I love
Chechnya.
Poland. It's so wealthy there. They have trees.
For free.
I once had sandwich without imagination in Poland. It was wonderful. Oh, the flavor is so much more than imagination sandwich.
You ever taste the color purple?
Oh,
I have.
I have.
In Poland.
In Poland. It was wonderful sandwich.
I grew up hearing stories of Polish sausage. Not stories at all. Facts.
Facts.
I saw one.
So you've been.
I saw one with my own eyes. Well, I borrowed eyes from Grandma. But I saw them with Grandma's eyes.
You know what they say in Chechnya? Eyes are like hand-me-downs. That's it. All right. I got to go.
Yes. Can we go?
Oh, I didn't even think about it till just now, but I'm on the longest vacation ever. I love it. All right. Good luck, everybody. Thank you for holding down the fort.
Oh, yeah. We got it.
And JP, take us away. Calgon.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Paul Arnie from Ale Apothecary up in Bend, Oregon, joined us to chat about his amazing beers. Learn more over at thealeapothecary.com. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcasts and go to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence, Bebo, and Taryn talk about all things Disney. Go check out Moscow's Hop Cartoons over at hoplifestore.com. Get on Twitter for some good beer insight and homebrew info. Follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD, JP at Major Jip, and Warren adding to the noise over at Another Beardy. Tasty will be speaking at the St. Louis Hops Homebrew Club meeting being held at Perennial Ales in St. Louis, or is it St. Louis, on September 13th at 7 p.m. Today's show is produced by JP, and your host has been Justin Crossley. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP does great as his charity.